It's time for Central Dolphin Playoff Football on WMSS and WMSSFM.com. Today's game is brought to you in part by Ted's Bar and Grill, Ricker Construction, St. Thomas Roasters, Panther Rams Club, the CD Rams Club, GPS Solutions LLC, the Blue Moose Bar and Grill, Horning's Ace Hardware, and this pregame show brought to you by Christopher's Pizza and Subs. Now let's take it out to the game with Eric Thomas and Brian Kaiser.
From Governor Mifflin High School, it is the District 3 Quad A semifinals tonight. 10-2 Central Dolphin on the road, taking on the number 2 seed, Governor Mifflin. Eric Thomas and Brian Kaiser with you here on a clear but very chilly night. District semifinals here, Mr. Kaiser. One of these teams going to go home tonight. The other one's going to go on to next Saturday's district semifinal. Let's start with the CD Rams here after a 14-7 win a week ago against Lower Dolphin. This team, still figuring out ways to win games, finds itself in the district semifinals for the second time in 3 years.
And arguably, maybe last week, outplayed a little bit last week, definitely at times by Lower Dolphin, but a team that continues to get the job done. And the bottom line right now about this Central Dolphin team is exactly what you said. They're finding ways to win. It ain't pretty sometimes. And you take a look at what they've done this season, this is still a team that just is a work in progress in terms of offensively what they do outside of when Raleigh Serb runs the football. This team really has not had a lot of other options. But what they do is they defensively stay in football games. They occasionally will get a short field here and there, and they are very good at taking advantage of that. This team knows how to win football games. They've been in close games this year, and that's going to be an advantage tonight if they can keep this one close against a very explosive Governor Mifflin team.
The team they're going to see knows also how to win games, but they really also know how to run the football. 316 yards per game, and they have demolished the first two opponents they've played here in the tournament. 701 yards rushing in two games. They've attempted just a handful of passes. No passing yards, 98 points, and they ran Cumberland Valley off the field here last Friday night.
And I think we all know, based on what we saw earlier this year, what kind of a football team Cumberland Valley is. Now, Cumberland Valley didn't help themselves at times in that game. Came out, threw two pick sixes, gave up a kickoff return for a touchdown. So the usual staunch defense really wasn't as bad as what you might think in that regard, but still, this Mustangs team put a lot of points and a lot of yards on the board last week against a very respected team. They shut down Cumberland Valley, who could not throw the football effectively, and that made them one-dimensional. Segue to this week, where you have a Rams team, which we know has been very one-dimensional in terms of what they've been able to do this year. I hate to say it this way, but I really think that somehow, some way, if Central Dolphin is going to have a chance to win this game on the road, they must make a couple of big plays in the passing game to keep things honest and to get things going.
And they did play a team in Reading who runs the ball effectively. That Reading team, by the way, in round one, 335 yards rushing. Now, obviously, Central Dolphin won the game. They're here tonight. But does CD, and we'll hear Glenn Mackley talk about it in our next segment, does CD take anything away from seeing that style and physicality of a rushing attack against them just 2 weeks ago here tonight?
Yes, that they have to be on guard, because there were times in that game where they played tremendous and just focused defense, really keying on what they're supposed to out of the option game. And they're going to see some of that tonight. But they also are aware that a team is one missed tackle away from breaking a big gainer. And that's what Reading did a few times in that contest. So Central Dolphin tonight, as far as what they need to do, they need to really keep this game close. They keep this game close, they have shown. They have found ways, and somehow they've been able to do so. They have an advantage in the kicking game. That's something that cannot be overlooked. But defensively, I think they need to turn this thing over a few times, get a couple of takeaways, give themselves short fields. And I think on the offensive end, you got to hit some big plays in places where you may not have hit them already this year. Do not be surprised if we see one or two trick plays tonight at some point from Central Dolphin to try to, shall we say, even the playing field against a team that they know they're going to have to do some things and some special things tonight.
Next segment, we'll hear from Central Dolphin head coach Glenn Mackey. Tonight's pregame show brought to you by Christopher's Pizza and Subs, 4422 Oakhurst Boulevard, right off Lingolstown Road in Harrisburg. Call them at 717-540-9433. We'll hear next from the head coach of the CD Rams, Glenn Mackey. That comes your way next on the pregame show. This is the District 3 semifinal on 91.1 FM and WMSSFM.com.
GPS Solutions, owned and operated by Anthony Cristillo, is a proud sponsor of Central Dauphin Football. Serving the area's fleet tracking and paperless application needs, GPS Solutions LLC provides solutions for service industry fleets. Get rid of the paper and go paperless. Their phone number is 717-554-7512.
Ricker Construction, family owned and operated since 1974, serving the community's construction, excavating, and snow removal needs. Ricker Construction specializes in utility services, access road installation, cell site construction, and commercial construction. With the winter months coming up, Ricker Construction is available for snow removal needs as well. Online at rickerconstruction.net. Their number is 648-8241. Ricker Construction, proud sponsor of the CD Rams football team.
Ted's Bar and Grill, two great locations, same great wings. 6197 Allentown Boulevard and 1313 North 2nd Street in Midtown Harrisburg. Ted's has a brand new menu, and all food is made fresh daily. Daily lunch and dinner specials also available. Both locations open Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to midnight, Saturday and Sunday, 11 a.m. to 2 a.m. Coming in the fall of 2015, a new location in West Hanover Township. Their number is 717-652-3832 for the Allentown Boulevard location, 717-232-2522 for the Midtown location. Online at www.tedsbarandgrill.com.
Plenty of evidence that any game film you watch, any article you read,
they're going to make plays. We're going to do our very best to minimize how many plays they make.
A little bit of a different offense than what you saw in Reading in the first round of the playoffs, but a similar style in terms of just line up and run the football. What do you take out of that Reading game into this game here tonight?
Well, it's an option attack, and you have to be disciplined with your assignments, dive, quarterback, pitch. And in that sense, there's a similarity with Reading, but they do have some different twists. Obviously, have some different personnel doing it, and we're going to have to be very disciplined and physical both.
You referred to this team in a local paper down here, the Reading Eagle, as shock and awe. What gave you that feeling or that mindset?
Well, that refers to the idea of overwhelming force, kind of forcing an early surrender, and that's what's happened. If you look at their games, it is what it is. The facts are facts. They haven't had to play very many fourth quarters because it's been decided by then. They overwhelm people very quickly.
Your rushing attack's a little bit different in the sense that it's faster, but it's maybe as physical, and it kind of punches teams in the face a little bit when you get it going. Have you been matched up against a team like this where there's kind of that similarity just in terms of line up and just run the football right at you?
Well, this is a unique football team. You know, if you talk about running the ball, yeah, you face other teams that like to run the football, but the way they do it, the program that they have, you know, with Coach Vecchio and the way he's done it year in and year out, they are a very unique program, and we're going to have to do our very best tonight.
A little bit of history between the two sides. You played them 2 years in a row in the district playoffs, 2 years apart in the district playoffs, 08 and in 2010, I believe it was.
Right.
What do you remember about those games, and has much changed with this program that you'll see tonight?
I remember very well, and they're still running the same system, which says a lot. They have continuity. They believe in it. Their kids believe in it, and they know it gets them far every year. They've made deep runs a lot. They've been in the district championship before, and so we're going to face a team that I had supreme confidence, and rightfully so.
Your defense has been a big part of why you're here tonight, obviously, but the challenge has not been bigger maybe this season than what they're going to face tonight. What type of week did this defense have getting ready?
No question, and what I like is our kids embrace the challenge. They welcomed it. They were not dreading the fact we had to play a team like this, an offense like this, because they're very competitive kids. That's something that served them well, and it needs to serve them well tonight.
This is also a little bit out of your element tonight, too, because you guys haven't had to go on the road for many district playoff games. Now, obviously,
right.
In state, neutral field, state championship, Hershey, district final, Hershey, but for district playoffs, you have not had to go on the road a whole lot the last couple of years. Was anything different about this week getting ready for it?
That's what he mentioned. That last time was when we came here in 2010 for a road district playoff game. But, hey, the elements aren't going to be great. The environment isn't always great. It's playoff football, Central Pennsylvania. Whether it's a parking lot, as I always say, whether it's in football field, home or away, you just got to be ready to bring it.
You guys went to the net this week in Palmyra to practice a little bit. Can you tell us a little bit about, what that was like for you? Obviously, you're on turf field. You guys play on turf.
turf at home, but your practice field, not the turf field, over at the high school, so you guys were able to take advantage of that and get on some turf for practice.
Absolutely. It was nice. It was also a nice change of pace. The kids took advantage of it. We had a very nice practice. We had a very nice week of practice, and that's why I'm really excited for kickoff, see how it plays out on the field.
Something a little bit not related to this game, but it is related to this game. We have two semifinals in which it's two burst teams and two mid-tank Commonwealth teams. What does it mean to you that the other game, just a couple miles away from here, involves your rival CD East tonight?
Yeah, I've been so focused on our game this week. Obviously, with the opponent that we have, our hands are more than full. And we've been working really, really hard at getting to know them and all the intimate details of Governor Mifflin. Our focus has been so much on that. Obviously, it's a neat thing, as you mentioned. We've got to really, really make it happen here tonight. Our family, our football family, is on the line. And you lose, and it's over. So a lot at stake.
You guys seem to have thrived kind of against that us-against-the-world mentality all season long. It seems to be a lot of people questioning, how did they get here? How can they keep this thing going? But you guys seem to thrive in those situations, just like you did last Friday.
Yeah, our kids love the challenge, whatever's next. And once they found out that this was our next game, they were excited to get to work. They knew it was a huge challenge, especially in light of the score last week against Cumberland Valley. But that's kind of been our team's MO this year. Just excited about that next challenge, whatever it might be. Not really caring about what might be said outside, but more just taking care of business here within the family.
All right, Coach, we'll talk to you in the postgame show. That is Central Dauphin head coach Glenn McAmey here on the Christopher's Pizza and Subs postgame pregame show on 91.1 FM and WMSSFM.com.
The CD Rams Club mission is to advance the great winning tradition of Central Dauphin through character development, academic development, and physical development of each player that enables them to reach their full potential while at Central Dauphin and in their lives after graduation. The core values of the Rams Club are hard work, selflessness, and enthusiasm. Online at cdschools.info/CD Rams Club. The CD Rams Club, proud sponsors of the Central Dauphin football team. Hornings Ace Hardware, located at 6000 Bluebird Avenue in Linglestown, has been servicing the Harrisburg area for over 25 years and is a still elite dealer. Their staff is committed to truly being the most helpful hardware store. With their full rental service, repair department, and knowledgeable staff, they can help your to-do list become a to-done list. With winter coming, a full selection of snowblowers, shovels, and salt are available. Online at HorningsHardware.com. Their number is 545-1222.
St. Thomas Roasters, located in the heart of Linglestown at 5951 Linglestown Road, serves freshly brewed coffee, either piping hot or refreshingly iced every day. Breakfast sandwiches, smoothies, bagels, soups, and grilled paninis are also available. Live music featured every Friday and Saturday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Custom-made gift baskets and private parties are also available. Online at www.stthomasroasters.com. Their phone number is 717-526-4171.
Here at Governor Mifflin High School, Eric Thomas and Brian Kaiser with you. Kickoff moments away in the District 3 Quad A semifinal between Central Dauphin and Governor Mifflin. Winner of this game will move on to next Saturday's District Final at Hershey Park Stadium, and they will play the winner of either CD East or Wilson. That game going on down here in Berks County as well. We'll keep you posted on that one as the night progresses. Chilly night here tonight. Temperature's 28 degrees here, right around 28 at kickoff. Feels like it's 21. Temperature's going to drop into the lower 20s throughout the game tonight. It is a clear night, very chilly. No wind, though, so that is a good sign out there.
A little bit, but not. It's going to affect these teams because they're going to keep it on the ground for the most part anyways.
And that was going to be my next question to you. Two power running teams here, One of them a power running team. The other one kind of has to run because they really haven't had a choice this season, to be honest with you. Is there anything that you see either one of these teams doing here tonight to divert from that? You mentioned maybe a trick play or two that Glenn McAmey might have up his sleeve. Anything that would divert from those two styles of attack to try to take this game early?
Other than that, no, definitely not. You're here in the semifinals because you've been true to yourself the entire time. You trust what you do, and you do it well. And in two playoff victories, Central Dauphin's come out, and they've played their brand of football, and they've won games. In two playoff games, Governor Mifflin played their brand of football, and they've won two playoff games. And both of these teams have done it their way. And I would expect both teams and both coaches to be very true to what they try to do. And at that point, it's team against team. And when you're looking at which team is the better team, Yeah, you can say one thing on paper, but it all comes down to game day. When they kick it off, which team's going to perform better? Which team is going to execute better? Which team is going to get maybe a break or two here that changes the game one way or another? And I think until that sort of sorts itself out, I think both these teams are going to be very, very run-oriented, very, very close to the best. You saw a week ago for Cumberland Valley what happens when you stray from what you do best. You find yourself in an early hole because you didn't do it well. And I think that would be the worst possible thing that could happen right off the bat for either one of these teams, really, is to go away from what they do best. They need to go out there, try to assert their will on the other team, and then let the chips fall where they may.
And that's one thing that Cumberland Valley did last week. First down, first play of the first offensive play of the game, they throw the football picked off for a pick six, and this game effectively last Friday night was over.
It was done.
They had no shot to get back in.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, as good as what that Cumberland Valley team is defensively, they came out and did something that was uncharacteristic of them, and they weren't able to pull it off. What you have here are two offenses that run the ball effectively. What you also have here that, because of today's society and how we look at football, we have two defenses that are outstanding defenses that have all sorts of great athletes on that side of the field. Jan Johnson, yeah, tremendous quarterback, runs the ball very well, too, on the offensive side. But he's a great athlete on the defensive side who had two pick sixes last week for touchdowns. You've got a couple of inside backers in Lucas Garner and Darren Schlegel who make a ton of tackles for this team. And Garrett Henry is a guy who, going both ways, people don't move inside for Governor Mifflin. You've got Central Dauphin. I think we've ad nauseum talked about Micah Parsons and what he's added to this defense as a freshman this year. But the bottom line is you've got a linebacking core who is second to none, with Betts and Albright making plays on the outside, McNeil and Thornton stopping everything on the inside. The question mark, I think, for both these teams ends up being their secondary, where I'd give Mifflin a little bit of an edge in that regard. Central Dauphin's been struggling a little bit, but in a game where you've got two teams that don't necessarily want to throw the ball in the air, not a big deal.
All right, we'll step aside for timeout. When we come back, kickoff between Governor Mifflin and Central Dauphin. This is the Christopher Pizza and Subs pregame show here from Governor Mifflin. Back with more for this on 91.1 FM and WMSSFM.com.
Gilligan's 2, located at 10 North Houck's Road, just a short drive from Landis Field, is open daily, and the kitchen is open until midnight. Daily drink specials and a menu filled with chicken, pasta, seafood, wings, burgers, and salads. Every Tuesday is trivia night. Gilligan's 2, a great place to stop in and celebrate a CD Rams victory, just a short drive from Landis Field. Online at gilligansbarandgrill.net, their number is 652-2611. Gilligan's Bar and Grill, the place where friends meet. The Panther Ram Foundation supports programs directly benefiting students in Central Dauphin schools. With the cost of public education today and almost 11,000 students, the foundation is used to provide funding for essential educational needs such as extracurricular activities, enhanced learning activities, or providing food for our children to have a healthy nutrition over the weekend. The Panther Ram Foundation was formed in 2001 to complement students' academic experiences in the Central Dauphin School District with programs that will foster greater learning and understanding and might not be sustainable due to a lack of funding. Online at pantherram.org.
The Blue Moose Bar and Grill, located at 6791 Linglestown Road, serves classic American home cooking with tasty twists. Check out their full menu of fresh cooked foods with something for everyone. Wings, pizza, sandwiches, meatloaf, chicken pie, crab cakes, and filet mignon. The Blue Moose is your headquarters for anything to do with sports, featuring 22 television sets. They also offer entertainment Wednesday to Saturday with trivia and bands. Their phone number is 717-651-9493, or check them out online at bluemooseharrisburg.com.
Christopher's Pizza and Subs, located at 4422 Oakhurst Boulevard, just off Linglestown Road, is a proud sponsor of the Central Dauphin Rams. Open 10 a.m. until 10 p.m. daily. Christopher's offers subs, pizza, salads, strombolis, and pasta. Dine in or take out. Pizza selections include Sicilian Square, Thick Crust, Chicken Parmesan, and Neapolitan Round Thin Crust. Their number is 540-9433. Christopher's Pizza and Subs, where every day is a pizza day.
We're still fresh after 30 years in the making. This is WMSS Middletown.
Back here at Mustang Stadium, Eric Thomas and Brian Kaiser with you. Kickoff now just moments away. Central Dauphin won the toss and deferred, so they will be on defense to start this one here tonight. And as we mentioned last segment, winner of this game gets either CD East or Wilson in the district championship game next Saturday night at Hershey Park Stadium.
And the key right now, if you look at both these teams, the question for Central Dauphin coming into this game, who's going to be the starter quarterback, and can you get Riley Serb going? So it's going to be David Payton who's going to get the start tonight. A.J. Millar will play, we're pretty sure, as those two quarterbacks have shared time all season long. And as for Serb, he will have the bullseye whenever the Rams have the ball on the offensive end. For Governor Mifflin, they're really a two-headed monster in terms of what they do running the football. The two main guys, Wilson Fontanez, the 5'10 senior who has over 1,500 yards rushing this season and 26 touchdowns on the ground this year, and the quarterback, Jan Johnson, also. He can throw the ball, but his running is just as good. 752 yards to complement what Fontanez has done all season.
Jake Kirshner will kick off for the Rams. He will kick off from left to right across your radio dial and back deep to receive the opening kickoff for the Mustangs. Evan Pollock, the 5'11 senior, he is the lone return man back there. Kirshner has it teed up at the 40 on the far hash. Kickoff will again come from left to right. Rams deck out in their road white uniforms, green and white numbers and trim. Mustangs in their maroon jerseys with the gold pants, gold helmets, and the white numbering. Kirshner run up and kickoff. It's end over end and we're underway, and Pollock will sail into his own end zone to retrieve it. And Governor Mifflin will start first and 10 from its own 20-yard line here, attacking the end zone to our left as we are underway in this district semifinal.
Let's take a look at the starting offense for the Mustangs with Keith Miller, Dan Timko, Adam Sebastianis, Garrett Henry, Tucker Garner, the tackle-to-tackle left-to-right side of the offensive line. You've got Jan Johnson, the senior quarterback, a 6'3", 210-pounder who's promised to Akron next year. Evan Pollock, Reed Hoff are the senior wide receivers. Hoff, a big target at 6'4". Pollock is a speedster, as he showed a week ago with a 96-yard kickoff return for a touchdown in Cumberland Valley. You've got Hunter Bortz at the tight end, Alicia Ortiz at slot back, and Wilson Fontanez is your fullback.
First down, handoff, as Fontanez will get it, and he'll be stopped as he gets across the 20 and up to the 22-yard line, 23-yard line, for a gain of 3 on forward progress. That'll bring up 2nd and 7 for the Mustangs.
Very, very important tonight for Central Dauphin. Anytime you see a team that runs some option and has a fullback that is a big-time threat, you have got to solidify inside. And that's why two of the most important guys on the field tonight are going to be the starting defensive tackles. Joe Williams gets a start at one of them, the 309-pound junior. But Rashawn Gabriel is the guy who has been getting a lot more reps there in the recent weeks. He gets the other start there. Michael Parsons, Elijah Robinson have a big key to do on the outside.
Johnson in the shotgun, fakes to his sidecar, throws your side pass in and out of the hands of Pollock. David Payton that time, who got the start at corner tonight, had the coverage for the Rams. Third down upcoming for the Mustangs.
And Payton's in there because they've been struggling at the corner lately. He gets the start at the one defensive back. You've got Malik Fry at the other corner with just Jordan Hatcher as the free safety, and we talked about those great linebackers before. Betts and Albright, the juniors on the outside. McNeil and Thornton, the inside linebackers, a senior and a junior between them. And an early important play here for CD to try to get their offense in decent field position to start off.
Johnson will be in the shotgun again. He's got three receivers far side, back to his right, rolls. Now he's going to take off, run near side. That is collapsed in a hurry, and Johnson will get up to the 25. And he stopped right there, so 3 and out for Governor Mifflin on his opening offensive series. And the Rams defense comes up with a nice early stop there to force the punt with 10:58 to play in the opening quarter.
I've always felt that it's really important early on in a game, Eric, to make a defensive play, get yourself on the road, a stop to show that you're not going to allow the momentum burst that a lot of teams get when they drive down the field in that opening drive. A great stand by the Rams early. They really bottle up Johnson to force the punt.
Johnson, who does everything on the punt. Micah Parsons came through, but Johnson got it away. End over end as Malik Fry runs underneath of it to fair catch it across the 45 at the 47-yard line in Central Dauphin. We'll start with good starting field position here. 10.5 minutes to go in the opening quarter. Rams coming up with their first offensive series of the night.
And Dylan Hobbs, who's a little bit gimpy tonight, he's going to give it a go at left tackle. Eamon Blythe is your left guard. Enrique Armas, center. Leah Guzman, the right guard. Evan Childs is the sophomore right tackle. Justin Salek, the leading receiver of this team, he is the tight end, a 6'2", 180-pound senior target, 6 touchdown catches out of his 14 grabs on the year. David Payton, the start at quarterback, the junior, throws the ball, but he also is an excellent runner as well.
We see Armour and Serb on first down. It was Armour split wide. Serb gets the handoff and will carry it up to the 50-yard line on a 3-yard gain as he gets to midfield, second down and 7. You mentioned Peyton getting the start, 14 total touchdowns. They've liked his consistency or a little bit more poised through the playoff series. He's gotten the start the last 2 weeks.
I think the other thing they like is the fact that he gives them more of an option running the football, and I think they're going to need that tonight, especially since neither quarterback has set the world on fire throwing the ball. You need to have that extra weapon back there as a runner.
Armor far side, serve near side. Peyton in the shotgun, McNeil in the backfield, serving motion away from us. They will fake to him. Peyton will go up the middle. Cuts, gets into Governor Mifflin territory, 40, 35. Peyton at the 30. Cuts, now he's at the 20, 15, the 10, the 5, the corner, and he's pushed down just shy of the goal line, but it'll be first and goal Rams at the Governor Mifflin 1 with 9:43 to play in the opening quarter.
And that's what David Peyton gives you. He gives you that weapon in the back to just explode and make a big play at any time. Outstanding work by the offensive line, opening up a crease for them. There's no penetration from the defensive line. That allows Peyton to surge, find a spot, bounce out to the outside, and then outrun everyone all the way down to the one where he's knocked out of bounds. Great start here for the Rams, and it all set up by the defense getting a three and out, a shorter field. This is what this team has been doing well all season long.
Bring in Rashawn Gabriel, so they'll go double tight. Eli Robinson is also going to be in there, as they've done inside the five with that extra blocker. So McNeil, Robinson, and Serb, as Robinson going to go out to the wing spot on the left side. Peyton will hand off on first and goal. Serb is tracked down and taken down in the backfield by Jan Johnson. Who else? The guy who does everything for Governor Mifflin.
Yeah, just shoots the gap, gets in there. Serb ends up losing three on the play, but it's all because of penetration. And you've got everybody tucked in close. The other team knows what's coming, so Mifflin doing some run blitz shooting in the gaps, and Johnson, a guy as quick as anybody, gets through there and is able to make the open field tackle.
Second down and goal from the five now. Peyton will be under center. He's got his extra blockers in there with Robinson and McNeil again. They will hand it off to Serb, bouncing to the outside. Finally, McNeil's block, turns the corner, and gets inside the pylon for the touchdown. A 5-yard touchdown run for Raleigh Serb. And with 9 minutes straight up to go in the opening quarter, Central Dauphin is on the board. The Rams lead it 6-0.
Exactly what this team needed to start off the game. You've got a team that's been blowing teams out, getting ahead in games, playing downhill. The best way to do to take care of that and stop that early on is to get a defensive stop, take a quick drive down the field, put points on the board. And on the road, the Rams have the early lead.
Bill Petrino to hold. Jake Kirshner to kick. Uprights to our right. As we mentioned, the wind blowing slightly from this side of the field across it, so it's going from right to left as Kirshner would feel it. Petrino gets the hold. Kick is away, and it is blocked. Kick is blocked right up the middle. And the Rams will take a 6-0 lead with them into this brief timeout. We'll step aside for a quick one. 6-0 CD leads it. This is the district semifinals on 91.1 FM and WMSSFM.com.
GPS Solutions, owned and operated by Anthony Cristillo, is a proud sponsor of Central Dauphin Football. Serving the area's fleet tracking and paperless application needs, GPS Solutions LLC provides solutions for service industry fleets. Get rid of the paper and go paperless. Their phone number is 717-554-7512.
Back here at Mustang City, Mayor Thomas, Brian Kaiser with you. 9 minutes straight up to go. Opening quarter, Central Dauphin has a 6-0 lead. And Brian, I just remarked to you during the timeout, Mifflin allowing only 2.9 yards per rush, allowing 83.3 yards rushing per game. They've already given up 53 rushing here on that opening drive by CD.
Well, let's remember, 49 of it was David Peyton taking a ball, and that'll help your average immensely. It's not that Serb got much on his first two carries, but his last carry there from the 4-yard line, he was able to punch that ball in with some good seal blocking on the left side by the offensive line, and he's able to out-sprint everybody else to the corner to put CD in the lead.
Kirshner has it teed up at the 40, booms it away. Going to sail down towards the corner, and it's going to roll just inside the pylon for the touchback. Looked like it was going to sail out of bounds, but he got a fortunate bounce. So Governor Mifflin will start first and 10 from its own 20-yard line again. And for Kirshner on the season, that is his 18th touchback on the year.
Well, now you've got a Governor Mifflin team who has now found themselves behind here at home. Does that change the strategy? It shouldn't. They should be sticking with what they do best. It's a matter of finding ways to create things and just win the battles up front. Important drive, though, I think, mentally right now for Governor Mifflin to at least pick up a couple first downs to get things going.
Johnson on first down is going to keep running right side. He is hit as he gets across the 25 and up to the 27-yard line on a 7-yard pickup. That'll bring up second down and short with 8:48 to play in the opening quarter.
And that's going to be the play, I think, that is going to be a little bit more effective. One thing we know about the ends of Central Dauphin, these are ends that like to crash. They have to be very disciplined here tonight to really defend against the option.
Second down and three from the 27. As Johnson will be under center. He's got an eye behind him. Handoff, rather keep by Johnson. He is going to spin right side and get up close to the 30-yard line. We mark just about a yard shy of the first down, so we'll call it a gain of two, and that'll bring up third and short with 8:12 to play in the opening quarter.
Yeah, but Johnson keeping the ball, going to the right side again, just trying to attack that way. But great penetration. And whether they stop them here, what we're seeing is a wall being put up by the Central Dauphin defensive front and doing a good job at the point of attack.
Third down and short, Johnson under center. He will keep, sneak right behind that right guard, and he is still moving the pile, but he's going to have well enough for the first down as he gets up across that 30-yard line up to the 33 on a gain of four, and that'll bring up first and 10 for the Mustangs with 7:43 to play in the opening quarter.
Yeah, and it's important for Governor Mifflin to come into this second possession and not change what they do. This is a team that wants to run the football. They need to be effective establishing the line of scrimmage. So how do you do that? Next three plays from scrimmage, you just let your quarterback run the football behind this big offensive line and allow them to create something.
First and 10 for Johnson in this offense. Hands off, Fontenez. And up towards the 40-yard line, stopped at the 39 on a gain of six, and that will bring up second down and four. I want to make a mention real quick that Garrett Henry is not in there right now offensively for Governor Mifflin. He suffered a foot injury this week, missed all of practice. They have Elijah Goeen in there, the 6'1", 235-pound sophomore, is in there in place of him at that right guard spot.
And it makes him a lot smaller. It also really makes it seem like they should want to go to the left because they're not real big now on the right side with Henry out of there. That being said, they've been going almost exclusively over to that right side.
Johnson under center on second down. Throws, passes, caught by the tight end, Hunter Ford, 6'3", junior, and he's into CD territory as he gets all the way down across the 45 of the Rams, 44-yard line.
That's what you need to do to establish a passing game. That's that quick pass where the quarterback play fakes the line of scrimmage. It sucks the linebackers in. That's why that release down the seam is a very effective one because you have to have somebody try to keep up with the tight end off the line, but they're looking run first, and it allows the tight end to usually get right behind where that wall of linebackers would normally be.
Receiver out wide to the far side on first down. Johnson on the option. Pinch. Hatcher had the tackle for a second. Malik Farai will wrap up. Alicio Ortiz, the 5'11 junior, but not before he gets close to another Governor Mifflin first down. He's going to be right at the stick and should have. That's going to be just shy of it.
And the thing that makes this really difficult, Eric, to defend the option, we've talked about this in weeks past, is you have to have, everybody has to have a responsibility. Somebody has to take the quarterback. Somebody has to take the pitch man. And on the play, they had the quarterback taken, but the pitch man needs to be the safety who's 15 yards from the line of scrimmage. It was an easier pickup.
Johnson on the keeper will have the first down. Sheds the tackle, and Jan Johnson faking out. Malik Fry takes him head on, stays on his feet, and is inside the 5-yard line. What a run by the senior quarterback, Jan Johnson, to set up first and goal for the Mustangs with 5:39 to go. Somehow kept his balance as he was twirling to the ground.
Much respect on that one. Hey, those are the bear crawls that you do during the summer practices when it's, we'll just say, a little bit hotter than it is right now out there. And you keep on your feet. You try to keep your balance. There's a reason you do that. It's for that right there. It's to keep your center of balance. Keep moving forward. He must have crawled his way with the ball in one hand, with 2 feet and one arm on the ground, for about 5 to 7 yards at the end of that run.
Receiver wide to the far side. It is Hoff on first and goal. Johnson will fight his way into the end zone for the touchdown. Good answer by the Mustangs offense as Johnson directs that drive on a 4-yard touchdown run. Governor Mifflin's a point after away from taking the lead.
Yeah, what you realize right away from Governor Mifflin, as much as you would like to from the Central Dauphin side, hope that this is going to be a defensive struggle, they're going to put up some points tonight. They're an offense that is very difficult to stop. Outstanding work in the option of just moving the ball side to side. The pass play, I think, was really important to set things up and really establish that they aren't willing to throw.
And we will stay tied as Johnson's point after is no good. So with 5:19 to play in the opening quarter, we are tied up at 6. CD and Governor Mifflin, this is the District 3 Quad A semifinals on 91.1 FM and WMSFM.com.
Ricker Construction, family-owned and operated since 1974, serving the community's construction, excavating, and snow removal needs. Ricker Construction specializes in utility services, access road installation, cell site construction, and commercial construction. With the winter months coming up, Ricker Construction is available for snow removal needs as well. Online at rickerconstruction.net. Their number is 648-8241. Ricker Construction, proud sponsor of the CD Rams football team.
Back here at Mustang Stadium, Eric Thomas, Brian Kise with you. 5:19 to go in the first quarter. We are tied up at 6 after that Jan Johnson 4-yard touchdown run, the extra point block, so we stay tied here at 6 apiece.
8-play drive, they go 80 yards, drive it right down the field on the Rams. Most impressive play of the drive was the 32-yard run from Johnson that got them in position. That was a ridiculous effort from Johnson to go where he did. But I think the play that really set that one up, too, was the pass on the play right before, or two plays before, the pass play to Bortz. All of a sudden, that freezes your safety and allows him not to really be able to come up to the line and cheat and run support. The very next play, they pick up 9 yards on a play to Ortiz, where that safety is normally going to be taking that pitch man and wasn't in the spot because he was a little bit more worried about the passing situation, and the very next play after that was Johnson's 32-yarder before he scored the touchdown from 3 yards out.
That was Bortz's fourth reception of the season. And for Johnson, he's only attempted 84 now. It's the kickoff return by, rather, it's Cottrell Armour, and he will carry it up to the 38-yard line, and that's where the Rams will start first and 10, tied at 6-0 with 5:09 to go. A pair of touchdown runs, one by Raleigh Serb, and then the answer by Jan Johnson, how we got to the 6-6 score.
Didn't get a chance to look at the Central Dauphin skill position players because half the time we don't even know who the wide receivers are going to be. You got Mitch Nice, Malik Frye, Ryan Elliott, Deshaun Paul, Jordan Hatcher, Matt Partenheimer. You'll see a mix of all of those guys, maybe even some Mark Hughes thrown in there. But you've got Raleigh Serb and Contrell Armour along with Stephen McNeil, the starting backs tonight.
Extra blocker in there is Rashawn Gabriel. As Serb goes in motion away from us, they give to him on first and 10. Serb ducks down and gets across the 40 and up to the 42. Call it a gain of 3, and that'll bring up 2nd and 7 with just under 5 to go here in this first quarter.
Governor Mifflin defense. It's Tucker Garner, Garrett Henry, Keith Miller, Jacob Clark up front. You've got Jan Johnson, Lucas Garner, Darren Schlegel, Mac Luzowitz at linebacker, Evan Pollock, Elisio Ortiz, Eric Dupel are the three players in the secondary in this 4-4 defense.
Really, the guy that's been the wrecking ball defensively is Jan Johnson, 2 pick-sixes a week ago against Cumberland Valley. As Peyton has it in the shotgun, he's got Armour and Serb now serving motion towards us on 2nd down. Peyton will keep on 2nd, trying to roll to the left side, ducking and weaving and getting across the 45-yard line. And he has stopped shy right around the 48-yard line. So a gain of 6. That's going to leave the Rams short by a yard and bring up 3rd down and 1 with 4:14 to play in the opening quarter.
But what Peyton's doing very well, he's an elusive runner, but he's also a patient runner as he's doing that. He's looking for spots to cut in, and he's keeping his head up as he's trying to set up defensive players as he runs towards them. And a couple times on that play, he was outside, looked like somebody had a beat on him. He was able to juke him and get inside. Sets up a 3rd down and very short.
Ryan Elliott's the wide receiver, and now he is wide to the near side as Peyton will be under center. Has his extra blocker left. That'll be Robinson coming in motion towards us on 3rd and short. Serb gets the carry, gets into Governor Mifflin territory, bringing to the outside. Serb, 40, and he is taken down as he's twisted around across the 40 to the 39 of the Mustangs, and a big first down conversion for the Rams with 3:35 to go in the quarter.
Yeah, pick up a 13 yards on the play for Raleigh Serb, who just continues to amaze with his strength this year. And we knew he was fast coming in. What he has really done well is run hard between the tackles. A couple times that time, he was being ripped from behind, ripped from the side, refused to go down, and just continued to churn and fight for more yardage.
Serb, far side, Armour near side, Payton shotgun. He's got his extra blocker this time lined up to the right side. McNeil in front of him. Man in motion towards us is Serb. Fake to Raleigh. Payton will keep. Payton cuts back middle of the field and is going to get down to the Mifflin 31. It's a pickup of 8, so that again will leave CD at second and short. And when the Rams, you know, Brian, we talked so much this season about how they've had trouble passing the football. When the running game is this effective and they're leaving them at second and third and short, this offense is as explosive as it possibly can be.
And no offense to A.J. Millar, but right now with what this team does best, David Payton is the best fit at quarterback for this team, and we're seeing why. 3 carries already in this game, 63 yards rushing for Payton. He has been a catalyst for keeping this offense moving in the first 2 drives.
Extra blocker again, Robinson near side on a shift, so they're double tight now. Salak is near side. Elliott's the receiver near side. Handoff on second down to serve. Trying to hit that corner. Raleigh will get across the 30 and dance his way towards the Mifflin sideline and out of bounds with 2:25 to go. And we'll see if he has enough for that first down. He does, as he will just get the yardage needed. So another first down conversion, or pickup rather, for the Rams with 2:25 to play in the opening quarter. We are tied up at 6.
Well, they'll give him all the way up to the 27-yard line. So a gain of 4 on the play for Serb, and good work from the offensive line. Just continue to string that out. And then Stephen McNeil, the senior fullback, leading the way, trying to get over there and set the edge with his lead block, was able to do so Serb could dance behind going to the wide side of the field.
Thomas Whitcomb is in at the left tackle spot in place of Dylan Hobbs. Now high snap, and Serb got it, lost it, ball is loose on the field, and after a scrum for it, it looks like Mifflin may have picked it up. We'll see. Initial signal is...
I think Central Dolphin has it there.
They may have pounced on it, and if so, what a lucky bounce that is.
Mifflin
miscommunication
first.
They are still jockeying for the ball here. Ref's trying to clear the pile, and we do not have a signal yet. Both teams obviously pointing in their respective directions, but it is going to remain Central Dolphin ball on a lucky bounce that time. For the Rams, miscommunication, high snap, miscommunication on the handoff, Serb fumbles it, but the Rams recover.
The importance of the snap in any sort of play is paramount, but especially in the rhythm and timing offense that Central Dolphin has. When you send a player in motion, that snap has to be where it needs to be, right in the hands of the quarterback, so he can immediately make that either fake or handoff to the running back. If that's off kilter at all, which it was there, you have potential of what just happened, a fumble.
That is clean this time. Payton will keep it. He has swarmed and dropped. Jacob Clare, the senior defensive end, comes in there for the stop. And that will bring up third down and call it 11 for the Rams with a minute 35 to play in the quarter.
Just excellent work that time. They weren't falling for it. Serb went one way, and this time the backside of the play stayed home. McNeil cut to the inside trying to open things up. Payton had illusions of grandeur trying to go to the outside for a moment and realized right away that there was nothing there, but it was too late by that time. The defense had turned him back.
Seaver each way, it is tall far side, nice near side. Payton in that modified pistol snap looks to his right, left, now throws over the middle, pass incomplete, intended for Salak, the tight end, and that'll bring up 4th and 12 with a minute 5 to go in the opening quarter.
Boy, this is tough here, too, because it's 4th down and 12. You've got a team that doesn't throw the ball well to begin with. It's not like this is a place you can run anyways, and you definitely can't kick a field goal because you don't have quite enough leg for it from this spot. This is, I think, about as tough a conversion situation as what Central Dolphin's going to have, and they're going to call timeout to talk about it.
We'll take one, and we'll take one as well with 1:05 to go. This is the District 3 semifinal on WMSS and WMSSFM.com.
Ted's Bar and Grill. 2 great locations, same great wings. 6197 Allentown Boulevard and 1313 North 2nd Street in Midtown Harrisburg. Ted's has a brand new menu, and all food is made fresh daily. Daily lunch and dinner specials also available. Both locations open Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to midnight. Saturday and Sunday, 11 a.m. to 2 a.m. Coming in the fall of 2015, a new location in West Hanover Township. Their number is 717-652-3832 for the Allentown Boulevard location, 717-232-2522 for the Midtown location. Online at www.tedsbarandgrill.com.
Back here at Mustang Stadium. Eric Thomas, Brian Kaiser with you. 1:05 to go. First quarter tied up here at 6. But check on the scoreboard. There's only 3 total games going on here tonight. The other Quad A semifinal over in Westlawn between CD East and Wilson is still scoreless. And then the Class AAA semifinal, Daniel Boone at the Calico, that is also still scoreless. The other games are tomorrow, including McDevitt and Redland. Peyton will quick kick after the timeout. His end over end is going to sail downfield and roll out of bounds on the CD sideline. So after all that, Glenn McNamee and the Rams decide to quick kick. Ball is going to be marked just over the 10 at the 11-yard line, and that's where the Mustangs will take over first down and 10.
I don't mind that. Because you have an offense at fourth down and 12, it's just not conducive for this squad to think that they're going to pick that up. The lack of a receiver outside of your tight end who has done anything this season in terms of numbers is glaring there. And normally you might go for it. You do gain 18 yards of field position, which may not seem like much, but in a game like this, forcing Governor Mifflin to go further on the field is probably the optimal thing.
Dan Johnson under center on first down. He will pitch the near side to Ortiz. He's going to be outside, and he's tracked down from behind on a great defensive job by the safety, Jordan Hatcher.
Yeah, great job by Hatcher. Again, he is the pitch man in that situation. He's the guy that you have to really be aware of in terms of defensively. He's got to read the play and come from usually about 15 yards back on the field and recognize that Ortiz is his man, and he's able to come and make a tremendous play from the backside with the tackle. Bring him down, though, after just a couple of yards.
Gain of 1 officially, so Johnson will be under center. As the clock will tick under 20 seconds when they get this play off, they fake the double handoff. Johnson rolls out to the far side, throws. Pass is dropped and incomplete, so that will bring up 3rd down and 9 as Fontenez was the intended receiver with 12.9 seconds to go in the quarter.
He had him, and I think he felt a little bit of pressure that time, too. And Fontenez sort of finding himself in a little bit of open space. He was trying to think about where he was going to turn and run to because he knew that there were guys on either side of him at that point trying to make a bigger play out of that and ends up making nothing out of it because he doesn't make the catch.
Surprised that we've seen Mifflin throw this much here in the first quarter?
No, not really. I mean, because the tight end pass was a one that was a great time pass, and that one, I don't mind that because you really, it's more of a running play where you're trying to dump it to a back.
39, they go draw to Fontenez, and the Rams defense is right there to corral him shy of the 15-yard line, and it'll be no gain officially, and that's going to do it for one quarter of play. 12 minutes in the books, and we have a 6-6 ball game here in the District 3 Quad A semifinals. This is the semifinals on 91.1 FM and WMSSFM.com.
The CD Rams Club mission is to advance the great winning tradition of Central Dauphin through character development, academic development, and physical development of each player that enables them to reach their full potential while at Central Dauphin and in their lives after graduation. The core values of the Rams Club are hard work, selflessness, and enthusiasm. Online at cdschools.info/CD Rams Club, the CD Rams Club, proud sponsors of the Central Dauphin football team. Hornings Ace Hardware, located at 6000 Bluebird Avenue in Linglestown, has been servicing the Harrisburg area for over 25 years and is a still elite dealer. Their staff is committed to truly being the most helpful hardware store. With their full rental service, repair department, and knowledgeable staff, they can help your to-do list become a to-done list. With winter coming, a full selection of snowblowers, shovels, and salt are available. Online at HorningsHardware.com. Their number is 545-1222.
Start the second quarter here at Mustang Stadium. Eric Thomas, Brian Kaiser with you. District 3 Quad A semifinals. Governor Mifflin and Central Dauphin tied up at 6 apiece. And after that stop on third down by the Rams, Jan Johnson will be out to punt for the Mustangs and back deep to receive for the Rams. Going back to about his 45-yard line is Malik Fry.
Let's see if Central Dauphin can put some pressure on Johnson, too. They had a little bit of pressure the first time, but a block punt here could be a huge, huge break. And a turn of momentum in this game.
Going to punt from just over his own goal line. It's a good snap. Pressure coming in. The punt is blocked. And scramble for it in the end zone. It is recovered in the end zone for the touchdown. And Central Dauphin has taken a 12-6 lead with 11:51 to play until halftime.
Elijah Robinson with the block. Gary Gaston with the recovery in the end zone. And the Rams on special teams take the lead.
We have seen that time after time this season. The Rams special teams unit has come up with another big one. They had two last week. Micah Parsons with two blocked kicks a week ago, and then the Rams adding the pressure. You called it. It's pretty obvious that that was going to be the case where Johnson was punting from.
They knew they had an opportunity, and in games like this where you know you're going to have to catch a break or two on the road, you take advantage of opportunities in special teams.
So Petrino to hold, Jake Kirschner kick. Kick is down, or the spot's down in his way, and end of end, it is good. Our new score with 11:51 to go until halftime. The Rams have recaptured the lead at 13-6. This is the District 3 Quad A semifinals on WMSS and WMSSFM.com.
St. Thomas Roasters, located in the heart of Linglestown at 5951 Linglestown Road, serves freshly brewed coffee, either piping hot or refreshingly iced every day. Breakfast sandwiches, smoothies, bagels, soups, and grilled paninis are also available. Live music featured every Friday and Saturday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Custom-made gift baskets and private parties are also available. Online at www.stthomasroasters.com. Their phone number is 717-526-4171.
Back here at Mustang Stadium, Eric Thomas and Brian Kaiser with you. 11:51 to play until halftime. And Central Dawson off that block punt by Eli Robinson and recovery by Gary Gaston has taken a 13-6 lead. Want to update the scoreboard real quick. The other semifinal still scoreless over at Westlawn between the Panthers and the Wilson Bulldogs. And then in the AAA semi, Metallico has taken a 6-0 lead over Daniel Boone. That is in the second quarter. Everything else is tomorrow. The Class AA final, Berks Catholic and Wyatt Missing at Hershey Park Stadium at 6. The Single A final, Camp Hill and York Catholic at Hershey Park Stadium at noon. And then, of course, the other AAA semi is Redland at Bishop McDevitt, and that game will kick off tomorrow at The Rock at 1 o'clock.
And at this point, still, something that coming in this week, which was not what most people would say the odds-on thing to happen, but a possibility, still very much in the balance, the potential of a CD East championship game. We're not gonna jump the gun on that.
The world might end if that happens. Kirschner has it teed up, and he will pooch it away as one of the up men will take it on the fair catch across the 30, just shy of the 35, and the Mustangs will start 1st and 10 inside their own territory. 11:51 to go until halftime.
That's a lot of respect, too, considering the wind. And it has picked up down there on the field. It's a crosswind, but it's into the face of where CD is right now, if there is something that they're looking at. But instead of trying to kick the ball and not get a touchback, they instead, pooch kicked the ball instead, giving up a little bit of field position because of that, maybe trying to catch Mifflin off guard. But more importantly, they are definitely aware of the Mustangs' abilities in special teams.
Jan Johnson under center. He's got a wing each way, back behind him, man of motion towards us now. On first down, as Johnson will keep, and he will squirt through the line. He gets into the clear, and he's tripped up by David Payton as he's just across the 40 and into daylight. Payton made a shoestring tackle to save what likely would have been a touchdown.
You've got a guy there who's 6'3" and somehow gets lost in the shuffle where he just cuts up the field. And for Central Dauphin, everyone was marked up being blocked man-to-man, and he just squirts through everybody else and hides, squeezing between players, and all of a sudden emerges, forcing a tackle that time from Payton.
Wing again, man of motion away from us. Johnson under center on first down. He will hand off this time to Fontenez, his fullback, as he gets across the 50 into CD territory. The single-season rushing leader had over 1,500 yards coming into tonight's game, and he gets a nice gain that time into CD territory with 11:10 to play till half.
Now, he's a tremendous back. I mean, he's a guy who just seems to continue to move piles forward. 185 pounds. 26 touchdowns on the season. They just continue giving him the rock, and he makes it pay off time in and time again.
You could just call him and Johnson Machine 1 and Machine 2. They do everything for this team, especially this offense. Johnson under center now on second down will keep, roll off the right side, and we'll get down across the 45. He stopped on forward progress at the 44. So it's a gain of 3, and that'll bring up 3rd and short now for the Mustangs offense with 10:35 to go until the half.
This is where you need those big, heavy dudes on the inside. Guys who just, I mean, sometimes you just have to fall down and just take up space. And it's not really optimal for the defensive tackle many times, but sometimes it's what's necessary. And you need to just create something where you're in the way and nobody can move you out of the way. And Central Dauphin had somebody down the bottom of the pile that time. It may have been Leo Guzman, who was down there and just was able to grab a hold of the legs of Johnson so he couldn't go any further.
Third and two for the Mustangs offense, attacking the end zone to our right, trailing this one 13-6. Johnson under center, man in motion away from us. On third and two, the senior will take the snap. He is bottled up and will be dropped, and it's going to be shy of the first down. Shy of the first down as maybe back to the line of scrimmage, just a hair over it. And that's going to bring up fourth and very short for this Mustangs offense.
Yeah, great penetration. You just got a punt blocked. Yes, you're definitely going for it here. That's the one drawback of blocking the punt. You know that there's no chance that after that, on a fourth down and short, that they're going to kick the ball back to you. So a great chance here for the Rams defense to make a huge stop. Pay attention here. The normal play here, as Governor Mifflin's going to call timeout, the normal play that most teams will go with is that run right up the gut. I don't think they're going to go with that here. I'm completely expecting at this point, because of the Rams getting great penetration on the last play right up the middle, they don't want to go right back to that. I think what they're going to probably do is they're going to fake the ball into the line and have Johnson come down the line, as he has been several times in this first half, and keep the ball himself. He's 6'3", 210 pounds. He's about as good a short yardage back as you're going to find as a quarterback playing high school football. I think that is a dangerous situation in short yardage, because when you get off the edge in short yardage, there's usually not a lot there to try to help make the tackle because everyone's up the line of scrimmage. If you can break open the early initial containment, that's when you see big plays happen.
Governor Mifflin coming into tonight's game had punted 12 times all season. That's one a game. And tonight twice, and now they're going to go for it here on fourth down and one. Interesting how that kind of works out.
Well, sure.
12 punts all season long and then twice tonight. So that's what the Rams defense has done.
Right. Teams haven't stopped this team and for a good reason.
Now the Rams will have an opportunity here as they jump. There's offsides.
The left side. Left side of the Governor Mifflin offensive line move first.
And that's going to bring up fourth down and six now. So this makes it a little trickier for this Mifflin offense.
It was a weird formation. I think they got the left tackle, Keith Miller, the 6'4 senior over there, got out of his stance early. And now they are going to come out in a punt formation, and this is where you've got to be aware of a fake possibility because you have Johnson back there punting. Wow. So I think if they do punt, they're going to get this one away because Central Dauphin is not going to do the hardcore rush that they did the last time.
And this is a Rams punting return unit that has been just itching for a chance to break one loose. They've been close a couple times this season, but have not had much of a chance. So Malik Fry will be back deep to receive. He's standing at around his 16-yard line. High snap to Johnson. He gets it. Pressure is light. The end over end punt will go away. It's going to take a bit of a Mifflin bounce and roll all the way back towards the 11-yard line. And that's where it is down, and that's where the Rams will take over first and 10 with 9:07 to play until halftime, up 13-6.
Boy, Eric, and the thing that really confused me on that fourth down play, did you see what formation they were in? They were in a shotgun. I mean, more or less a short shotgun, but one where it almost seemed like they were looking quick kick there out of that formation, which on fourth down and a little over one really surprises me with the effectiveness that this offense has had all season, that would be the choice there, but they're going to trust their defense.
And A.J. Millar will be out of quarterback for the Rams. Now he's got Peyton, a wide receiver. He throws to him on first down. Peyton makes the catch. He will get across the 15 and up to the 16-yard line on a gain of 5. That'll bring up second down and 5.
And is that the first catch of the season, I believe, for David Peyton?
That would be correct.
So he picks up the yardage there, and what you need to do if you're Central Dauphin, you have to find ways to get your playmakers the football. And if Millar is going to come in a quarterback, Peyton still needs to be on the field. He's a guy who can be a game breaker, so they keep him out there.
Scoreboard update coming up for you after the play is over. Millar in the shotgun. He's got Peyton wide on the near side, too far side. Now man of motion towards us is Serb. He'll stop sidecar right of Millar. On second down, a hard count, handoff serve, running up the middle. He's going to be tripped up as he gets across the line of scrimmage and is stopped right there for maybe a gain of one, and that'll bring up third down and four. The other semifinal, Wilson has taken a 6-0 lead on CD East that is now into the second quarter over at Gursky Stadium in Westmont.
And, Eric, the tough thing here for Central Dauphin with Millar in the game is now serve standing right next to him in the backfield, and Governor Mifflin was not worried about Millar running the football around the outside. This is where Millar needs to, if he's going to run the football or given that opportunity, has to show he can be decisive in terms of taking the ball and taking off with it. But Central Dolphin a little slow getting the play in. They call timeout.
Too many personnel switching in and out here to confuse the Rams. We'll keep it here during the timeout with 7:45 to go. And the first half here, and again, Wilson up 6-0 on CD East. And it's the other semifinal right now, so the Bulldogs have struck first over there.
I don't really know that this first half could have gone any more to plan for Coach Glenn McNamee of Central Dolphin as it has so far. They've come out, they took advantage of a quick defensive stop right out of the gate in the game and get a quick touchdown to go up in the game. They give up a touchdown to a team that is going to score some points in the game, and then they take advantage of a special teams opportunity. This Rams team has been opportunistic all season long, and they continue to do so here in the district semifinals.
And Fontenez over here on the Mifflin sideline, standing in front of the portable heater they have. Looked like he was a little gimpy as he was walking over towards that heater, but it looks like he's also just trying to warm up his helmet. They're on a cold night.
It's cold, but you also have to keep an eye on people. He seems like he's all right, though.
All right, so the Rams will break the huddle here out of the timeout, and they'll send Peyton back out there at the quarterback spot, receiver each way, back is Sir. Peyton will roll near side, fake the option, cut up field, and he's going to be tripped up shy of the first down. He's shy of the 20-yard line. He needed four, and he got about three, so it's going to bring up fourth and one, and the Rams, without hesitation, will send out Kirshner to pump this one away with 7.5 to go until halftime.
Yeah, no doubt about it, and this is exactly why Governor Mifflin decided that they would punt the last time, because they trust their defense to give them a short field, and barring an amazing punt from Kirshner, they're going to get that.
Kirshner will punt from right to left.
On the season, Kirshner averaging with his punts on the year about 35 yards per.
He's going to be punting into a slight breeze that's blowing right back into his face. And he's trying to draw the Mifflin unit offside. It's a low snap. We got a flag that comes in as Kirshner was getting set to punt this one away.
Well, this is going to be against Central Dolphin.
So back the Rams up five, it appears. Bring up fourth down at 7. Kirshner was trying to draw him off sides with the count.
Hey, I don't mind
blame him either.
No, I don't mind that at all, because if you can pick up that first down via penalty, you're under the 7-minute mark here in the first half. What you're trying to do right now is get in the locker room with the lead. So the less time that the opponent has with the football, the better off you are, and that's what that attempt was.
Rams still have a 13-6 lead as Kirshner will get set to punt it away again. It's a good snap. Pressure coming, and Kirshner gets away a high, booming kick that is going to sail across the 50, take a bit of a Rams bounce, and roll all the way back to the Mifflin 39-yard line.
Tremendous punt. What a great kick that time from Jacob Kirshner at a time where they needed it. And we said before this game, you know, you looked at a lot of the matchups in this game, and it seemed like Governor Mifflin had a lot of maybe the individual matchups offensively, defensively, whatnot. But the one place that it was very apparent that Central Dolphin had a bit of an advantage was in the special teams. And we've seen that block punt for a touchdown, and now that booming punt from Kirshner bails him out of a little bit of trouble and makes this field a little bit longer than I think Governor Mifflin was hoping.
Game eerily similar to one that we did a little over 3 years ago.
I believe that was correct, sir. And that ended up pretty well for Central Dolphin.
And it was really a special teams-oriented game as Johnson will keep on first down. The Rams are right there to stop him as he's back to the original line of scrimmage. Maybe gets a little ahead of steam there up to the 41. They will give him a yard for a one-yard gain and bring up a second down and 9. But you remember that game against North Allegheny, how important Casey Hartzell was
no doubt
at punting the football. He had the one bad one late in the fourth quarter that the Rams were able to kind of get out of the jam there and ended up winning that game on a special teams play, a field goal by Evan Brandis. So we know how important that is to Glenn McNamee and how hard they work on it.
It's another facet of the game. How many coaches at the higher levels, maybe not as much at the high school levels, but at the higher levels are constantly preaching offense, defense, and special teams, three facets of the game of football.
Johnson under center on second down will look to his left, throw that way, pass is caught by Force. He dropped it into a space as Force was diving to the turf right between three Rams defenders, and a big first down conversion for the Mustangs, throwing the football into CD territory, down to the Rams 39-yard line with 5:50 to go in the half.
Well, it's an important play again here, Eric, because You've got run from Mifflin, and that allows the safety and the defensive players to start cheating up to the line of scrimmage. So the ability to throw over the top, down the seam, to Bortz, into that hole, is now going to keep them a little bit more honest. Let's see if they run right out of this, especially maybe a pitch man or maybe it'd be Johnson out of this last play.
Handoff is going to go to Ortiz. He is hit at the line of scrimmage and driven backwards as McNeil and Betts are there for the stop. Two of the more consistent tacklers on this Rams defense with 5:15 to play in the half.
Yeah, you've got McNeil on the season, 10 tackles per game. Betts is just over 6 tackles a game. They are very active, very, very aggressive to the ball linebackers.
And Betts is also the guy who replaced Zach Hoffman, who the Rams, Sean Ross, was the defensive coordinator and assistant coach, thought was going to be a big-time player for this Rams defense this season. Hoffman lost in the preseason to a shoulder injury, and Betts has been very, very stout as his replacement. Governor Mifflin breaks the huddle here. They'll send 2 receivers near side, 3 near side. Shotgun for Johnson. Back to pass. Pressure coming from Betts as the pass is caught by Dukel, or rather Ortiz, is going to get down across the 30. Ball was loose on the turf there, but then recovered, and Governor Mifflin will be close, and they have converted, it looks
short, because
short, about a yard. Yep.
They're going to say he was down before the fumble, and that means that instead of getting the 3 yards out of the recovery, it ends up being a yard short. That was Ortiz making that grab?
Yes.
And he's able to scamper forward for 11 yards. The problem for CD, they had Betts blitzing off the right side, but they had no other linebacker over there to try to cover the receiver out of the backfield.
Big 3rd and 1 now for both sides as Johnson is under center here and just goes right ahead, and he's going to be stuffed at the line of scrimmage. And we will see where he gets marked. The ball is being marked.
Oh, no, he's short.
He is going to be well short of the first down.
Considering where the linesman came in, he's short.
Yep. Now, they have given them a pretty good spot here.
They got a little bit of a surge initially, but, I mean, great penetration from the Central Dolphin defensive front. Joe Williams seems to be around everything right now, Eric. He's playing a whale of a game right now at defensive tackle.
Sticks are coming out for the measurement here. Governor Mifflin got a favorable spot. And he is going to, as they
still short.
Chains,
he's
going to be
still
just
short.
Shy by about half a football.
Unfortunately, it's 4th down. It's now 4th down and about a couple credit card lengths.
6-6 now. CD East is tied up Wilson, so that game is 6 apiece. Over in West Lawn, the other semifinal. Again, CD East has rallied to score a touchdown to tie that one up at 6.
Well, let's see. Let me help with the play call here on 4th down and 1, because they're going to go for it, and your quarterback is 6'3". So all you have to do is basically have your center not get blown directly back into your quarterback, and he should be able to fall forward for the first down. But the question is, do you try to take a chance with a bigger play here? I don't think they will.
Yeah, McVecchio is going to line his quarterback up. They go right up the gut, and Johnson's going to push forward to get the first down.
That serves multiple purposes too, Eric, because you've got a team that, you know, they're trying to pick up the first down. The other thing it does is it keeps the clock now. It stops momentarily for this resetting of the chains, but it keeps the clock moving. Governor Mifflin doesn't want to give the ball back to CD here at the end of this first half with much time, if any time, for them to do anything. So they want to work a little bit of clock, too, and that quarterback's knee is dual-purposed.
Johnson will be under center. He's got 2 receivers near side. Back is Fontenez on 1st down. Johnson going to roll out to the near side. Going to throw off his back foot down the field. Pass is tipped and knocked away by Malik Fry. We got a late flag. We have a late flag that comes in on the incompletion. Fry had great coverage and knocked it away with his insert, his outside hand. And we'll see this looks like, at least it's going to be offensive interference.
Well, it can't be on Fry. We'll put it that way.
Yeah, he made a great play on the ball.
It definitely cannot be on Fry. He baited Johnson to throw that ball exactly where he was looking. Illegal touching is the call against Governor Mifflin because the receiver stepped out of bounds and then came into play. And what they're saying is he was the first one to touch it.
But well, it seemed like Fry was the one who touched it first.
Yeah, that's, so that's nothing. I'm not sure I quite agree with that call, even though it favors the white team. But I'm not sure. That's a 15-yard penalty, too, Brian, with 3:04 to go here. That's a questionable at best call because Fry had great position and made a great play on the ball.
But you also had a receiver going over the top to try to make a play, too. And if it was deemed by...
Simultaneous.
It was deemed simultaneous. You know, it's a very bad break for Governor Mifflin, that's for sure. Because a 15-yard penalty on that play, we've had a very clean game in terms of penalties. This is maybe a one offside penalty against each team game so far. But now you've got first down. Is it first down? Or
It's first down. It's second and 25. Johnson will throw. Pass is caught up near the original line of scrimmage and out of bounds on the CD sideline. And making the catch is Pollock, senior wide receiver, his eighth reception of the season. Going to get back towards the original line of scrimmage, but it's still going to bring up third down and long.
Well, they hadn't changed the down marker, though, Eric, on the far side.
They have not.
So, it'll be second down here. Of course, they still haven't changed
the first down. After the penalty, and
correct.
That was first down, and then now after the pass play,
right.
It is second down. So we got it squared away here. Second and 11 with 2:58 to go in the half.
When it's an illegal forward pass, then it's loss of down, not when it's illegal touching.
Shotgun snap to Johnson. White pressure, he pumps, throws to the left side, down the end zone, and Pollock makes a diving catch, and it's incomplete. The far official in the corner saying Pollock could not maintain control on a great effort by Johnson and Pollock, but it's incomplete, and third down upcoming.
What looked like happened there, Eric, was you had a receiver in Pollock who makes a tremendous effort for the ball. When he hit the ground, the ball popped up a little bit. He couldn't maintain complete control, and by the time he was able to corral it, he was already sliding out of bounds. Tremendous effort that time from the senior wide receiver. But unfortunately for Governor Mifflin, Pollock cannot hold on in bounds.
Could not have telegraphed that any better than what Johnson and Pollock did. That was a tremendous throw and a great effort by Pollock. As Mifflin will call timeout with 2:49 to go until halftime. Coming up at halftime, the Ted's Bar and Grill halftime show. We'll run down the out-of-town scoreboard, and we'll take a look at the first half stats. Ted's Bar and Grill, two locations, Downtown Boulevard and 2nd Street in Midtown Harrisburg. For more information, they are online at tedsbarandgrill.com.
Well, now you get third down at 11. I think it's pretty clear Governor Mifflin at this point feels that they can throw the football on Central Dauphin. They have some confidence. What a tremendous throw that was by Johnson, because the double move, they had time. That's what the run is able to do to really keep the defense honest. They can't just gamble and go completely out at the quarterback. So you've got a quarterback who's got a little bit more time than what he might normally have against the Central Dauphin defense, and now that puts more pressure on the secondary. Secondary bites on the double move, but the ball had to be thrown perfectly. They closed well. Hatcher on one side, I believe it was Gaston on the other side. The two of them closed very well that time, or maybe it was Downing on the play, but instead of Gaston. But the two of them closed very well. The ball had to be thrown perfectly, and it was.
Mifflin will break the huddle here on third and 11. They attack the end zone to our right. Trailing Central Dauphin 13-6 with 2:49 to go until halftime.
Good drawler screen down, too.
Two receivers near side. They go option to the near side. Fontanez, Thornton giving chase, will track down Fontanez momentarily, and then he's cleaned up on the near side by McNeil and Arshon Downing also in the vicinity as well. And that'll bring up 7 with 2.5 to go until halftime here.
And what that does is, I mean, it's a running play, nonetheless. It runs some clock, but I think more importantly for them, they were trying to pick up a big play with the run, knowing that they were going to be going for it anyways on fourth down. So instead of putting the pressure to try to throw down the field for a big play, pick up a little bit of yardage, I don't think they picked up near what they wanted to, because it's a definite passing down for the Mustangs.
Two receivers far side, shotgun for Johnson, sidecar to his left. They're going to run. He goes shovel pass to Ortiz. And Ortiz is going to be stood up and dropped as McNeil converges for the stop and a big, big fourth down stand for this Rams defense with 1:59 to go until halftime.
He needed 7, and Stephen McNeil was the wall that made sure he only got 6.
great effort by one of the leading tacklers in school history on the season, 11 tackles for loss. He has been the most consistent defender the last three seasons for Glenn McAmey and Sean Rossler's defense. And now the Rams will take over. They have one timeout remaining with...
I don't think they're as worried about that. Well, I think what they're worried about right now is that Governor Mifflin only has one timeout remaining. So what they're going to try to do is to pick up a first down, get this in the locker room up 7.5.
And the Rams will receive the second half kickoff. A serve will get the handoff out of the shotgun snap that Peyton gets across the 20, stop at about the 21 for a 3-yard pickup. And that'll bring up 2nd and 7 as the clock winds to 1:47.
Yeah, let me say something completely crazy to you. If I'm Central Dauphin, I don't even know that I have the option in the second half. I don't know that I don't kick the ball in the second half because it's been their better offense. It's very outside the box thinking. Nobody ever does it, but it's crazy enough to maybe work tonight.
That's an excellent point. And Peyton will be in the shotgun again. He's got armor and serve split each way. McNeil, the back in the backfield.
No coach will ever do that, though.
Peyton waiting and waiting. Going to wait and milk this one as far as he can as he will keep on second down, go up the middle, cut, and get twisted around and dropped shy of the 25. So a 3-yard pickup to the 24, and that'll bring up 3rd down and 4 with 1:01 as we'll now wind under a minute to go in the first half.
And now if they do not pick up the first down here, you can expect Governor Mifflin to call their last timeout. But they're going to take their good old time at this point. Work all of the play clock they possibly can. Believe they probably saw it correctly. Maybe about 20, 25 seconds or so is where they'd have to snap this ball.
No play clock. So it's the back official who's standing at the 50 that will raise his arm to signify 5 seconds to go. No play clock like CD has at home here. As Peyton will be in the shotgun again. Man of motion away from us to serve. And Peyton will wait, take the snap. We got a flag come in. And that'll be a delay, it appears, on the Rams.
They're okay with that.
Yep, but Peyton waited a little too long. There's 22 seconds to go in the half.
Yeah, but you know what? Work the clock as much as you possibly can. Now, in the next play, you take whatever time you can trying to make sure.
Did Mifflin just call their last time out of the half?
Timeout called by...
They're waving the flag off, it looks like.
Timeout Central Dauphin, I believe. Yes.
Yes, okay.
That makes sense.
Confusion there as to who called the timeout.
Well, you're seeing body language because it's not like we have a direct mic down there from our headsets down to the referees right now. So you're trying to read body language, and he's coming over to the sideline talking to Governor Mifflin, the coaching staff, and he's calling a timeout, and you're like, there's no way they could have called timeout or should have called timeout or ever would have called timeout in this situation, and they did not. What they're just saying is there really wasn't a flag on the play. Central often called a timeout before that happened.
After all that, 3rd down from the Rams' 24-yard line.
And you can look for this play, too, to be a wide type of a run. You'd have to expect ball security, very important here. Whether it's Peyton, serve, whatever, I expect Peyton just to run this ball and take a little bit of time.
Has two receivers near side. Snap to Peyton, rolls near side, palms, going to pull it down and turn the corner, sidestep a man and tiptoe his way out of bounds, and does have a first down with 15.2 seconds to go in the half. So the Rams should be able to just kill the clock the remainder of the half and take a 13-6 lead with them to the locker room and receive the second half kickoff.
Yeah, and while it looked like Peyton was making a mistake coming closer and closer to the boundary, what he ended up doing is picking up a first down. So I don't anticipate Central Dauphin doing anything crazy here. I think they are ecstatic right now with how this game has transpired in the first half, up 13-6 on the road against a high-powered offense. Their defense has been tremendous in the first half and has forced Governor Mifflin to do something that we really didn't expect.
Peyton will be under center, take the knee, and that will do it for the first 24 minutes. And it's been a good 24 minutes here in the District 3 Quad A semifinals. Central Dauphin has a 13-6 lead. That'll send us to the Ted's Bar and Grill halftime show, and we'll come back with that next. This is the District 3 semifinals on WMSS and WMSSFM.com.
St. Thomas Roasters, located in the heart of Lingolstown at 5951 Lingolstown Road, serves freshly brewed coffee, either piping hot or refreshingly iced every day. Breakfast sandwiches, smoothies, bagels, soups, and grilled paninis are also available. Live music featured every Friday and Saturday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Custom-made gift baskets and private parties are also available. Online at www.stthomasroasters.com. Their phone number is 717-526-4171.
Gilligan's 2, located at 10 North Halks Road, just a short drive from Landis Field, is open daily, and the kitchen is open until midnight. Daily drink specials and a menu filled with chicken, pasta, seafood, wings, burgers, and salads. Every Tuesday is trivia night. Gilligan's 2, a great place to stop in and celebrate a CD Rams victory, just a short drive from Landis Field. Online at gilligansbarandgrill.net, their number is 652-2611. Gilligan's Bar and Grill, the place where friends meet. The Panther Ram Foundation supports programs directly benefiting students in Central Dauphin schools. With the cost of public education today and almost 11,000 students, the foundation is used to provide funding for essential educational needs, such as extracurricular activities, enhanced learning activities, or providing food for our children to have a healthy nutrition over the weekend. The Panther Ram Foundation was formed in 2001 to complement students' academic experiences in the Central Dauphin School District with programs that will foster greater learning and understanding that might not be sustainable due to a lack of funding. Online at pantherram.org.
The Blue Moose Bar and Grill, located at 6791 Lingolstown Road, serves classic American home cooking with tasty twists. Check out their full menu of fresh cooked foods with something for everyone. Wings, pizza, sandwiches, meatloaf, chicken pie, crab cakes, and filet mignon. The Blue Moose is your headquarters for anything to do with sports, featuring 22 television sets. They also offer entertainment Wednesday to Saturday with trivia and bands. Their phone number is 717-651-9493, or check them out online at bluemooseharrisburg.com.
That's Bar and Grill halftime show from Mustang Stadium. Eric Thomas and Brian Kaiser with you. Central Dauphin has a 13-6 lead over the number two seed in the district, Governor Mifflin. Top four seeds were the ones that advanced here to tonight's action. The other game going on right now is over at Westlawn, and they are also at halftime. The number one seed, Wilson, still undefeated, and the four seed, Central Dauphin East, they are tied up at six apiece. The winner of this game obviously plays the winner of that game next Saturday night, 6 o'clock, Hershey Park Stadium in the Quad A final. We saw a great first 24 minutes there by both sides.
Tremendous first half of action. And the difference in this game on the scoreboard is the special teams play. And how many times in playoff football do you see that be the case, where you have two teams that have really fought each other evenly in the first half, and the difference in a game is something that so often you underestimate the importance of it. But the block punt for a touchdown, the word that just keeps popping up time and time again, Eric, about the Central Dauphin team, opportunistic. This is a team that all season long has found ways, without having a passing attack to speak of at all, having a very limited number of weapons in the running game, yet they still have won game after game after game, 10-2 on the season, and a team that at this point in a playoff game against a favorite team in Governor Mifflin, a team that has a high-powered offense, have stayed in the game, stayed close, and have been able in this first half to do what they need to do in order to have this halftime lead. It's been exactly what they've needed to do coming in. They've done so, and they have a deserved lead right now, 13-6 on the road.
I want to remind you that Ted's Bar and Grill, two great locations, Allentown Boulevard in Harrisburg and 2nd Street in Midtown Harrisburg. For more information, they're online at Ted's Bar and Grill.com. Big thanks to Romeo and Johnny, the guys over there, for stepping up throughout the playoffs for us here tonight to bring you the Ted's Bar and Grill halftime show. Time now to take a look at the out-of-town scoreboard. At halftime, we mentioned Wilson and CDE's tied at six apiece. The only other district playoff game going on tonight in District 3, Calico has a 21-0 lead on Daniel Boone. That's at halftime, and that's the AAA semifinal. Everything else is tomorrow. The other AAA semi, Bishop McDevitt and Redland, 1 o'clock over at The Rock, as the number one seed, McDevitt, looking to go to 13-0 in the season. And then the Class AA final, Berks Catholic and Wyomissing. That should be a great game at Hershey Park Stadium tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. And then the Class A final, Camp Hill and York Catholic, starts things off tomorrow at Hershey Park at noon. And then we also want to make a mention of the WPIL Quad A final that was held earlier today at Heinz Field out in Pittsburgh. Pine Richland, who has just run through everybody this season, wins that one 21-13, had a 21-7 lead with about a minute and 10 seconds to go, and then Central Catholic scored a late touchdown as time expired to make it a little closer than what it was. But Pine Richland wins the Whitfield. They will await the winner of the State College and, I believe,
McDowell
game tomorrow. That game is held tomorrow afternoon, I believe, at Clarion, I think it's at. And then the winner of that game would get the District 3 champion in 2 weeks.
And not to put odds on that game between Pine Richland, whoever comes out of that game, but the early line on that game is Pine Richland by 40. Just because you've got a team that's been annihilating teams, and I mean, State College, you look at what they've done this year, not so much in District 3. McDowell, just 8-4 out of District 10. And then you've got Pine Richland, who pretty much has to fight complacency at this point more than anything else, when they go into next week's game. I'd be shocked to see that game not get to the mercy rule. Pine Richland's been that good all season long. So, that's who would await, whoever comes out of District 3. And right now, you still have four teams that have a lot of business to take care of in the second half of this game and then next week, whoever survives these two games. And that's what this is right now. It's survival. Once you get to this level, you get to the semifinal level, you've got teams that have really fought their way to this point, and we're seeing two defensive games. The one here, very defensive game. The one over at Wilson is a very defensive game as well. That's what you have to play this time of year. If you can't play defense, you are not going to be able to win games in the playoffs, and you see that all over the state.
That game, by the way, over Westline, a couple of notes out of that one is Justice Jacobs got the start again at quarterback for East. No surprise there. He's 10 of 13 for 114 yards in the first half. Wilson's Jake Templin, 2 of 10, 23 yards and a touchdown. Shane Dantzler has run for 81 yards in that contest. Touchdowns were scored by Austin Rosa on a 22-yard pass from Templin, and then Joe Lamel, shocker, as the first half was winding down with 53 seconds left, scored on a 1-yard run. So that's how they got to 6-6 over there.
But, I mean, you're seeing right there,
right,
the weapon that East has in that game, that no matter if they could somehow win that game over at Wilson, which would shock a lot of people, but maybe not some in the know.
The dream is alive, baby.
The dream is alive. But if they would win that game, that's the weapon in the passing game with Jacobs, where he is a pure passer that really makes them a little bit more dangerous to defend in that regard, and a matchup that would completely change things from the first meeting between Central Dauphin that we saw, if that would be a matchup that would end up happening. Which pipe dreams are still out there.
How we got to 13-6 here tonight. Raleigh Serve scored on a 5-yard touchdown run with 9 minutes to go in the first quarter to make it 6-0. Rams, Governor Mifflin answered just a little under 4 minutes later with Jan Johnson's touchdown run. The point afters on both sides were missed, so we were tied at 6. And then 11:51 to go in the second quarter, Eli Robinson, a blocked punt that was scooped up by Gary Gaston in the end zone for a touchdown, gave the Rams a 13-6 lead, and that's where we stand right now after 24 minutes of action.
Let's take a look at our first half statistics. We'll start with Governor Mifflin, who has rushed for 100 yards in the first half, has passed for 67 yards. Central Dauphin has rushed for 99 yards, has passed for only 5, which actually is 5 yards more than we may have expected at certain times, because it just hasn't been something the Rams have done very well, especially once we've hit the second season. Johnson, 11 carries, 71 yards for the Mustangs. But Fontenez, 6 carries, 21 yards is all he's been able to muster in the first half, as the Rams have really held firm against the fullback up the middle and have done a great job there. Ortiz with 3 carries for 8 yards. But Johnson has been very good in the passing game so far. 5 of 9, and also had one ball that was almost caught for a touchdown in the end zone and another ball that was dropped by his running back out of the backfield. But he's 5 of 9 even with those two incompletions. 67 yards. He's found Bortz's tight end twice for 36 yards, Ortiz twice for 17 yards, and Pollock once for 14 yards in the first half. For Central Dauphin, leading rusher is David Payton, 8 carries for 71 yards, including from the second play from scrimmage, a 49-yard touchdown, 49-yard run to set up the Raleigh Serb touchdown two plays later. Serb, 8 carries for 28 yards. Nobody else has run the ball. And Payton is 0 for 1 passing. Millar is 1 for 1 passing, and his completed pass was 2. David Payton, who has the only catch for 5 yards in the game. So again, 104 yards of offense in the first half for Central Dauphin, but it's how they've used that. They had the 53-yard touchdown drive on the first play of the game, or the first series of the game, and then the block punt for touchdown to get their other score, and that's why they have the lead at this point.
That touchdown, by the way, in that Wilson game, just to go back to that for a second, you and I are looking right now at the Twitter feed of Jeff Morrow from PennLive.com. Austin Rosa appeared to not have caught the touchdown, but they ruled it a touchdown, and that's how they took a 6-0 lead. We're looking at the photo right now from Justin Robb of ABC27 on via Twitter, and it sure looks like there's a ball laying on the turf and Rosa picking it up to catch the touchdown pass. So there's a little bit of, you know, controversy there. Yeah, over at Wilson. Between Wilson.
Controversy?
Yeah, I know. Doug Doms earlier this week saying that this team is not very good. Well, you're 12-0, so.
I guess they're okay. I mean, but let's be honest. If you look at what they've done so far this year, for all intent and purposes, should have lost this Governor Mifflin team and ended up coming from behind very late in that game and stealing that one in overtime.
Probably should have lost to CD, too.
Should have lost to
Central
Dauphin. If
you want to talk about the call that happened in that game.
I was going to do that, yeah. So yes. Should have lost to Central Dauphin as well. And regardless, those are two very close games against two teams that would be the opponent in the next round if they were able to survive CD East. Now, they beat CD East on a scoreboard that was looking a little bit more comfortable, but it was a close game for most of that time, and no surprise right now that it's close in the first half over at that game. So, I mean, we've gone through a half of football at both locations in the Quad A District 3 playoffs.
It's still all progressed.
We've decided nothing. And
decided nothing.
What we have decided is that, and I think it's pretty clear for most people at this point, four deserving teams still in
absolutely
the playoffs at this point. There's the reason that these are the top four teams. And these are teams that deserve to be where they are and are proving it right now in the field.
This is the Tents Bar and Grill halftime show. CD has a 13-6 lead. We also want to bring up one point here, too, tonight. Our colleagues that are down to our left here, Bob McCool and Paul Roberts from WEEU. Paul Roberts has been a friend of mine for years. We trade information every Friday night. We've always looked forward to seeing them. We have a good relationship with Bob. You just worked with him on the PCN, the state championship soccer matches. They lost their colleague, Mitch Garrett, this week to a heart attack, suffered a heart attack last Friday after he and Paul called the Manheim Township Wilson playoff game. So we want to send our condolences out to Mitch's family, the staff at WEEU, and Mitch is very well missed. They saw the reserve form sign here in the booth tonight, and they did a moment of silence for him before kickoff tonight. So condolences to Mitch's family, to Paul, and to the staff at WEEU. Mitch will be very much missed around these parts, but not just around these parts. In all of District 3, one of those guys that you just go to and know that he knows the information that you need to have when you're crossing the divisions and getting into playoffs and everything like that. So we'll miss him very much.
Mitch, a consummate broadcaster, you know, to be perfectly honest about, you know, our profession and what we do broadcasting, there are many places that we go where you'll have guys show up 5 minutes before a game, throw something together, and just go on the air. There are very few professionals sometimes doing high school football. They are few and far between many times. Mitch Gerhardt was the consummate professional and a tremendous broadcaster and a voice of football in Berks County. He will definitely be missed, a fine individual and a guy who, you know, just a guy who knew the importance of what he did to the people he did it for. And he will be missed, and we've lost somebody in our profession that is a guy that a lot of other people could learn a lot from.
Big heart, great sense of humor, always great to talk to, and he and Paul they're one of a kind. They're one of the best broadcasting duos that you'll find anywhere across the state. I'd go to battle with those two guys any day of the week when it comes to calling a game. They are professional, they are fun to be around. And we will miss Mitch very much, and it's a shame that we were, you know, hopeful to see him here tonight. And obviously, if CD were to win this game, maybe next week down at Hershey, if they were to tangle with Wilson for the district final, as we did a couple years ago, but he is no longer with us, and we will miss him very much. And tonight's game broadcast and the game here, obviously, by the Governor Mifflin staff in the moment of silence, we'll dedicate it to Mitch and to his memory. And he's a big loss in District 3, and we're hopeful that he's resting comfortably wherever he is tonight. That'll send us to our next break. 4:53 on the clock till we kick it off.
I think the nice thing tonight, too, for Mitch, where he's watching, with both games being here in Berks County, at least he doesn't have to strain his eyesight too far going back and forth from game to game.
Very true. It's nice to have them both in kind of the backyard of each other. But, yeah, that game, that other game, by the way, they still have yet to kick off the second half. Still 6-6 over there between East and Wilson. And we will definitely keep our eye on that. And if CD is to survive here tonight, again, we will be on the air next Saturday night from Hershey Park Stadium for the District 3 Quad A Final. Just keep it tuned. We'll tell you all about it after this game is over, what the coverage plan will be if CD is able to hang on here and survive this one and get through to next Saturday night. We'll step aside for a quick timeout. This is the Ted's Bar and Grill Halftime Show, the District 3 Semifinals. CD has a 13-6 lead over Governor Mifflin. This is the District Final, District Semifinals on WMSS and WMSSFM.com.
We're still fresh.
Christopher's Pizza and Subs, located at 4422 Oakhurst Boulevard, just off Lingolstown Road, is a proud sponsor of the Central Dauphin Rams. Open 10 a.m. until 10 p.m. daily. Christopher's offers subs, pizza, salads, strombolis, and pasta. Dine in or take out. Pizza selections include Sicilian Square, Thick Crust, Chicken Parmesan, and Neapolitan Round Thin Crust. Their number is 540-9433. Christopher's Pizza and Subs, where every day is a pizza day.
GPS Solutions, owned and operated by Anthony Cristillo, is a proud sponsor of Central Dauphin Football. Serving the area's fleet tracking and paperless application needs, GPS Solutions LLC provides solutions for service industry fleets. Get rid of the paper and go paperless. Their phone number is 717-554-7512.
Ricker Construction, family owned and operated since 1974, serving the community's construction, excavating, and snow removal needs. Ricker Construction specializes in utility services, access road installation, cell site construction, and commercial construction. With the winter months coming up, Ricker Construction is available for snow removal needs as well. Online at rickerconstruction.net. Their number is 648-8241. Ricker Construction, proud sponsor of the CD Rams football team.
Ted's Bar and Grill, two great locations, same great wings. 6197 Allentown Boulevard and 1313 North 2nd Street in Midtown Harrisburg. Ted's has a brand new menu, and all food is made fresh daily. Daily lunch and dinner specials also available. Both locations open Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to midnight, Saturday and Sunday, 11 a.m. to 2 a.m. Coming in the fall of 2015, a new location in West Hanover Township. Their number is 717-652-3832 for the Allentown Boulevard location, 717-232-2522 for the Midtown location. Online at www.tedsbarandgrill.com.
We're still fresh. After 30 years in the making, this is WMSS Middletown.
Back here on the Ted's Bar and Grill Halftime Show, Eric Thomas, Brian Kaiser with you as the two teams work their way back out to the field here at Mustang Stadium. Central Dauphin has a 13-6 lead and will receive the second half kickoff as the Rams actually have yet to come back out on the field. Jake Kirshner is out working on his field goal tries here from distance just to get a little warmed up. And
I think part of it, and remember, look what side of the field he's also kicking into
our left
as well, and that would be the one where if you're going to be kicking into any sort of wind at all, that's where he is. So as a kicker, you want to know what sort of range you have in case it comes down to you. And right now, on the scoreboard, it's looking more and more like that is a distinct possibility. So based on where he's kicking from right now, the range looks like about 35 to 37 yards. He's kicking 32-yard field goals right now, and he's clearing the bar by about maybe 5 to 10 yards.
You mentioned in the first half, really there in the halftime show, about the quick start for Central Dauphin. Does Glenn McNamee, you think, in this situation, have something up his sleeve here to start the second half?
No.
For a quick start?
No.
Business as usual, just come out, run the offense, and see if he can further the lead.
This game is exactly how he wants it right now. They've got the lead at halftime. Maybe if they were behind. I think basically Coach McNamee at halftime is saying to himself, you know what, we played about as well as we're going to play in the first half of the football game. Defensively, we are doing what we need to do. We're stopping the fullback run on the option, and that means that makes Fontenez less of a factor, and it means that Johnson has all of the offense essentially on his back. So that's something where I think if you can make a team one-dimensional in that way, I don't mean in terms of they can't run or pass. Obviously, Johnson in the first half was able to do that. But you take away that fullback dive play on the option, and it forces now your quarterback to be the entire focal point of the offense. He'll take that. He'll take that any day of the week, I think, because I don't know that he thinks that Johnson can keep up the passing end of things that he did in the first half. So it then gives his defense another edge. And the other thing it does is the longer this game continues in the favor of Central Dauphin, we see that Governor Mifflin's willing and able to try to throw the football. So now all of a sudden when they are in a passing situation, now you can turn those defensive players, which have to be very disciplined and take a control brush at the line of scrimmage, you can set them a little bit more loose going after the quarterback. I think in the first half, that's part of the reason Johnson was able to have time, because you have to still respect at that point that they probably want to run the ball a lot more than they want to throw it. When they get into a desperate situation, is he continuing to be the accurate quarterback he was in the first half? On the offensive end of the field for Central Dauphin, do they need to do a lot? They haven't all year. I mean, they have not needed to do a whole lot all year. They just tend to do things when they needed to. And you look at the first half and the big plays that were made in the first half by Central Dauphin. You had first series of the game, Governor Mifflin comes out, and the defense three and out. Huge. Because of what it does field position-wise, the punt is somewhat short. You only have 53 yards of field to go. And Peyton, on the second play, busts one for 49 yards down to the one-yard line. They score two plays later. Then Mifflin scores, but then Central Dauphin gets an opportunity, and they quick kick to make sure that they have field position. So, again, playing playoff, close to the vest, conservative football, punting the ball, pinning them deep. The defense gets the stop there, and then special teams, they get the block punt. And then we saw a couple of other times, how about the tackle for McNeil on the fourth down and seven play, where he stops Ortiz a yard shy of the first down, exactly what they need to. So the key plays for Central Dauphin are being made at important times, and that's what this team just tends to do. They understand the moment maybe better than any team that I've seen at the high school level for the last few years.
That was, I remarked to you at halftime, that was basically a whole game crammed into one half there. There was so much that happened in that first 24 minutes. It was one of the best halves of football that we've seen all season long.
Well, we need another half like that in the second half, because if we get that same type of half in the second half, I'm pretty confident at that point that the Rams are going to the district championship game. But they have to play that same way, because it's not like Governor Mifflin's not going to come out here and try to punch them right in the chops.
Yeah, you expect probably Mifflin's best shot here early in the second half, both sides of the football. Rams will receive the second half kickoff as Malik Fry and also Contrell Armour will go back deep to receive. Kickoff here in the second half, right around 29 degrees, and the temperature continues to fall a little bit. Feels like 25. So
when you're behind, it gets colder quicker.
Sure does, yep. Johnson will have it teed up right between the hashes at the 40-yard line. And as we mentioned, Armour far hash, Fry near hash. And after a very, very well-played first half of football, we are set to go for the final 24 minutes. Johnson runs up, kicks off. His end-over-end is short as Fry will come up to field just over the 15. Fry goes right up the middle, breaks to the outside, 40, up to midfield, and he's tackled shy of midfield at the 49-yard line. So the Rams will have great starting field position here, attacking the end zone to our left.
Opportunistic, and again, in the special teams, the place where we felt coming into this game that Central Dauphin had the biggest advantage was in special teams, and it bears out again. Great return from Malik Fry as he just sees a huge hole right up the middle and hits it hard. How many times do you see a return man sort of go a little tentative up towards it when he sees a hole like that? Not Malik Fry. Hits it and gets a big return almost to midfield.
Aiden in the shotgun, hands off to Serb on first down. Raleigh bounces to the outside, Governor Mifflin territory at the 46. and then he strung out of bounds at the 46-yard line. They're going to give him to the 45 on a gain of 4, and that'll bring up second down.
Really nice block on the edge by Rashawn Gabriel, who is over there as that second tight end. He's able to get the kickout block and actually seal the edge for Serb. Serb was going to cut inside that block and then realize that if he got to the outside, he could use that speed, maybe pick up an extra couple yards, and they're going to say he's out of bounds. Gain of 4, but a decent one on the first down play.
Yep, was good enough to get into Mifflin territory. So second down and 6. With the Rams offense attacking the end zone to our left, up from 13-6. As Peyton will have a man in motion towards us, as Serb, they will fake to him. Peyton will go right up the gut and get down across the 45 and is tackled as he gets to the 43-yard line on a gain of 4, and that's going to bring up third down and short.
And this is a huge play here because now you've got third down and short, but you don't want to squander what you were able to do getting the big kickoff return. This is an opportunity, and this is where you have to seize that opportunity. You're in a situation where you should be able to run the football and use your strength.
Peyton under center. He's got an eye behind him on third and 2 for the Mifflin 43. Hand off, though he fakes. Peyton's on a roll to the outside. He's got the edge and the first down conversion for the Rams, tackled as he gets across the 35 and down to the 34-yard line, and a big first down conversion to tackle that time by Jacob Clare.
I believe, if I'm not mistaken, too, a tremendous block on the inside by left tackle Dylan Hobbs, who sealed off his man to the inside, and it allowed the rest of the play to develop. A lot of times you'll see that edge blocker get knocked backwards a little bit, and it throws off the pulling lineman who are coming backside of the play. Didn't happen that time. Great block by Hobbs. Set everything else up, and Peyton picks up the first.
Armor far side, Serb near side. Shotgun for Peyton. High snap. Gives to McNeil, the fullback. The senior plows through the line of scrimmage. Gets down across the 30, and is tackled at the 28 on a gain of 6. That'll bring up second down and 4 with 10:27 to go in the quarter. Rams continue to attack the end zone to our left.
I love how physical they're being, too. And McNeil's a guy who has not gotten a lot of carries this season. Only listed as 11 of them coming into this game. He's a guy that they need to use a little bit more maybe in the attack because he is a hard-nosed runner and he fits the mentality of what this team is trying to do offensively.
Shotgun for Peyton, receiver each way. Far side it's Elliott, near side it's Serb. Serb will go in motion away from us. High snap to Peyton, give to Serb. Serb trying to get to the corner, McNeil the block. Serb dances around the corner, then falls on his own, trips on his own feet, and across the 30, and is stopped right by the line of scrimmage, maybe, so we'll call it about a no gain, and that'll bring up third down and 4.
Serb, he did a great job initially of being patient, waiting for the block, but also give some credit over there to the corner on the play for Governor Mifflin, as they were able to string that one out. I think it was Pollock over there who was continuing to come up and really forced that play on that side, never allowing McNeil to really square his butt.
Extra blocker with Eli Robinson. Serb will get the surge and the first down as he carries the pile across the 25 and down to the 22 on a pickup of 5.
He was hit shy of the first down and nonetheless is still able to surge forward and pick up the first down. Serb's numbers, not impressive right now, only 37 yards rushing, but they've been tough yardage. The sledding is tough against this Mustangs defense, but the offensive line for Central Dolphin may be playing about as well as I've seen them play all season.
McNeil is at the sidecar to the right of Peyton. A high snap. Peyton's going to go quarterback draw. He's going to get pushed back, spin out of the pile, and then try to pick up what he can after a short gain of 1, and that will bring up second down and 9 with 8:45 to go in the quarter.
The snap might have been a little high, but really, that didn't throw that play off because there was no play fake to really have to worry about. Peyton just trying to work behind his offensive line. There was no surge there. Great job up the gut from Governor Mifflin. Keith Miller's in there as one of those defensive tackles just holding his ground, 280-pounder.
Wing near side, shotgun for Peyton. Sidecar to his left, it is Terrell Gabriel this time. Again, a high snap, gives a serve, serve dancing around. Gets through the line initially, and he's going to get down shy of the 15. He's going to be tackled right around the 17 or so, and that's going to bring up third down and short.
Boy, but this drive has been going now for over 4 minutes of play, and we're seeing where they are at the field at this point is right around where Kirshner was warming up in the halftime, where he was about where he was trying to kick field goals from. So if they don't pick up the first down here, I wouldn't be surprised to see them try to go for three.
Serve far side, it's Elliott near side. Serve now in motion, will stop in the backfield, snap to Peyton, give the serve. Now rather Peyton fake. Peyton's going to throw out of the backfield, pass it, gets it, almost intercepted. He had a man downfield.
Salek, and he picked the wrong read. He actually went to the short man on that play. That ended up being, I believe, Rashawn Gabriel.
And they will send Kirshner out for the try. This is going to be right around a 34-yarder. Kirshner's long on the season is 37. He missed from 38 against Harrisburg in perfect condition. So the wind is slightly blowing back into his face. It looks like he's going to kick into the uprights to our left with 7:27 to go here in the third quarter, and the Rams up 13-6.
And Governor Mifflin has gotten good pressure on the two extra points, blocking one of them already, so he can't take a long time to step to this.
Petrina to hold. Good snap, good kick. It is away, end over end, and it is good. Jacob Kirshner from 34 has extended the CD lead.
That's good
to
from 44.
16-6. We'll step aside for a timeout. This is the District 3 semifinals on WMSS and WMSSFM.com.
The CD Rams Club mission is to advance the great winning tradition of Central Dauphin through character development, academic development, and physical development of each player that enables them to reach their full potential while at Central Dauphin and in their lives after graduation. The core values of the Rams Club are hard work, selflessness, and enthusiasm. Online at cdschools.info/CD Rams Club. The CD Rams Club, proud sponsors of the Central Dauphin football team.
Back here at Mustang Stadium, Eric Thomas and Brian Kaiser with you. 7:22 to go in the third quarter, and Central Dauphin off the back of Jacob Kirshner, rather off the foot of Jacob Kirshner. A 34-yard field goal has extended its lead out to 16-6.
Yeah, the foot and whatever rocket he attached to it as he put the foot to the ball. Wow, did he get into that one. We've seen him do this on kickoffs, but we haven't necessarily seen it as much on field goals. And for Kirshner, his first field goal since the game back on October 10th against Carlisle. So it had not kicked the field goal since that time. A timely one here makes this a 10-point game, a two-score game, after a 34-yard drive that took 5 minutes and 38 seconds to start the second half. The big play, actually, the kickoff return for Malik Fried that brought it back almost to midfield.
Short end over end taken by one of the up men. People going to cross the 25, up to the 30. Eric DuPell, the return that time for the Mustangs. And they will take over first and 10 with 7:15 remaining in the quarter, now trailing 16-6. And how big, I know, you know, obviously you want 7 in that case, but how big is just getting this to a two-score game at this point with that missed extra point?
No, all that matters, I mean, honestly, all that matters right now is the fact that you're putting points on the board. Because you've got that field goal with the kicking game of Governor Mifflin not being something that they can necessarily count on, too. Don't discount another field goal being a very important score in this game as well.
Johnson under center on first down will hand off to Fontenez. And he's going to carry the pile up across the 35 and shy of the 40-yard line. Made a little pushing and shoving with Hoff and Malik Fry after the play is over. The ref is quick to step in there and break it up.
As you think Fontenez was a little annoyed that he only had the scant yardage that he did in the first half of 21 yards?
Leading rusher season all time for Governor Mifflin. They've had quite a few here under Mick Vecchio that have been extremely good.
Well, he was determined that time and just continued churning those feet.
Second down and 2 after a pickup of 8. 6.5 to go, third quarter. Mustangs attack the end zone to our right. Receiver far side. Johnson under center. Hands off Fontenez. Fontenez will carry. And he's going to be taken down shy of the first down, it looks like, at least initially here.
Now he's got it.
Second surge did push him forward enough to get up to the 41 and a gain of 3 for the first down.
Yeah, if I'm Coach Vecchio, too, at this point, I'm watching my senior fullback. I'm looking at the determination that he is running, and I'm going to get him a few more touches than the six that he had in the first half.
Scoreboard update here after the play is over. First and 10 from the 41 now. Johnson under center. Hands off. It is Fontenez again breaking through and getting up across the 45 to the 48. on a gain of 7 that time and a big, big run on first down to bring up second down and short.
Joe Williams had him by the legs, but was behind him and couldn't pull him back.
Scoreboard update, fourth quarter. Over at Gursky, it is still 6-6, CD East and Wilson.
Wow. Fourth quarter. They're flying over there.
Second and three from the 48-yard line. We approach 5:30 to play here in the third quarter here at Mustang Stadium as Johnson will hand off. First man through is Fontenez again, and he will have the first down into Rams territory, stopped at the 47-yard line.
Pounded the ball. As a coach, I think many times you have a certain intention in a half of football. I think Governor Mifflin got away from that in the first half. I think you're very clearly seeing the atonement for what they did in the first half by giving the ball in the first four plays to Fontenez.
And the way you beat CD, we've known this, is to wear down the defense and put pressure on the offense. Fontenez gets the carry, breaks through, is missed, and Parsons will come in. There's going to be 15 additional tacked onto the play as a face mask, a personal foul face mask could be on the Rams. This is a costly penalty as Fontenez had to carry all the way down to the 29, but the flag is going to add 15 more.
He gets a 17-yard carry to start off with, and just breaking tackles and moving forward. You had one of the defensive backs who came in, it may have been Fry, who came in from the side trying to make a tackle and just got up too high, grabbed a hold of the mask. So it's going to be extra 15 or 14 and a half, technically, is what it should be. But they're only giving him five on that?
And no personal foul.
I mean, from the angle he was coming at, it wasn't an intentional one, but it really seemed like one that we usually see 15 on.
Out of the 24, it's first and 10, Mustangs, 5:01 to go in the third quarter. Johnson understands he's got an eye behind him, hands off, Fontenez, rather Johnson keeps, and Micah Parsons is going to drag him down, but not before Johnson will carry the freshman DN all the way down across the 20-yard line to the 17.
Yeah, with Parsons, as he's tackling him, the only way he can bring him down is to swing him forward, because that's really where everyone's going. You just look at the offensive line right now for Governor Mifflin. They are firing off the ball as just one collective unit and driving the Rams' defensive front back.
And without their best, arguably the best lineman, Garrett Henry, as it'll be Fontenez breaking through, and he gets down across the 10 and stops at the 9. It'll be first and goal, Mustangs, as we have 4:18 to go on what'll be a 8-yard pickup. Fontenez and a couple of CD players are still going at it after the play as one of the Mifflin players has to pull Fontenez away. Keith Miller in there right away to calm down Fontenez to make sure he doesn't pick up any kind of personal foul.
And a smart move from Miller because you've got a tremendous drive going. You're really asserting your will on the defense at this point. The last thing you want is something to derail what's going on.
Micah Parsons on the play had the tackle again that time, and he got up a little shaken up. Going to stay out there defensively, but the Mustangs have first and goal from the 9 now. Johnson under center. Fontenez and Ortiz in the backfield. As it'll be Fontenez, and he is going to be stopped as Parsons and everybody on that Rams defense getting in there for the stop. Thornton, Parsons, Albright, Joe Williams all in the area. We got a late flag coming in here. And this one is going to be a dead ball personal foul on Governor Mifflin.
Big mistake that time because Fontenez and his teammates were all very upset because at the end of that play, as Central Dauphin had him stacked up, they had a group of about five, and as the whistle was blowing, and we can't hear exactly when the whistle was blowing, but the tackle was continued to be made by Central Dauphin. Fontenez let up, and he was brought down. Governor Mifflin at that point wanted a penalty called against Central Dauphin. They didn't get it, and right in the middle of it, there was very clearly somebody said something around the referee that the referee did not like.
I think right now, it would be wise for both officials to tell both teams to cool it.
Yeah.
It's not a game you want decided by the officials here, as both teams have played very hard.
Well, it's not going to be decided by the officials. It's going to be decided by who can keep their composure in a very high-intensity situation.
Johnson, they will go reverse now as Pollock will get it on the reverse, trying to get to the outside. Reed Albright giving chase. They cut the corner off, and Pollock is going to maybe stretch depending on where they spot him. But a great job by the Rams to cut off that corner, particularly Reed Albright, as he got through there to give chase to it and cut off the run. But it's a horrible play call. Your offensive line is blowing Central Dauphin off the line. The one thing that the Rams have is they have quickness on the edges. So a slowly developing play where you're trying to run either direction is one that just doesn't work against this team. And now you've got a third down, goal to go from the 28, and you've taken what has been a tremendous drive and eliminated it with a mistake mentally by Governor Mifflin and a mistake play calling wise on that last one.
Third and 28 from Mifflin. Johnson will throw off his back foot. Fry plays center field, will pick it off. Malik Fry picked it off. We're going to have a flag. Fry will lateral it. They're going to blow it dead. But Fry will have the pick, and that thwarts the Mifflin drive. We do have a flag on the play here.
But it's post-possession.
It's
the third interception of the season from the senior defensive back. Just way too easy for Johnson on the play because he chucks that ball down the field and right into the hands of the waiting defensive back looking for Ortiz down the seam, but it never had an opportunity. Foul is going to be on an illegal block against Central Dauphin, but what this does is a time-consuming drive from Governor Mifflin down by 10 in this game results in no points at all, and now the Rams up 10 can work some more clock.
And a seventh interception thrown this season by Johnson. So that stops the Mifflin drive with 3:15 to go. And as Brian mentioned, the penalty will take the ball back inside the Rams' own 5. It'll be A.J. Millar in at quarterback. He's got an eye behind him. Millar will hand off on first down. It's the serve. Serve to the outside. Has space. Cuts back. Middle of the field. Towards the middle of the field. And he stops shy of the 20-yard line, but will have a first down. And more importantly, get the Rams offense out of the shadow of their own end zone with 3 minutes to go in the quarter.
And how smart was Raleigh Serb at the end of that play as he has an opportunity to scamper out of bounds, but knows each second at this point is valuable for the team in the lead. Stays in bounds. Doesn't necessarily pick up any more yardage, but what he does is he keeps that clock running after they set the chains.
Clock will tick down to 3 minutes before the play gets underway. Millar comes off the sideline. They have the extra blocker in there, and Eli Robinson, he is out now. And Peyton will be out there as a wide receiver, so it'll be, or rather that's Armour, who's out to the far side. So it is Millar in the shotgun. McNeil side, Carter was right. Man of motion away from us is Serb. They give the serve. Serb trying to get to that corner, following his block. Gets behind McNeil, cuts back again, is going to be stood up and dropped after he gets a loss of one on the play with 2.5 to go in the quarter. You know, but the thing is, Brian, I mean, you look at this now, and I don't think the Rams, they obviously want to keep the stick moving here, but the time.
Oh, no, it's all about time right now.
Time is what they want to drive off that clock.
You've got a 2-possession lead right now. All you're concerned about right now is working as much time as you possibly can off the clock. And if you end up scoring more points out of it, all the better.
And again, serve on that play, trying to get to the outside, cut back to not go out of bounds that time. So Millar stays in the shotgun. Snap, it's a high one. Millar's going to take it, run up the middle. Now he breaks to the right side, dragged down, arm tackled by Jan Johnson, and a great job by Johnson to save the big gain that time by Millar as the senior steps up to make the stop with 1:45 to go in the quarter.
Yeah, they had it blocked very well on the outside. It's just one tackle away from being a huge play from Millar. Sophomore quarterback just couldn't quite elude Johnson, who is a very sure tackler, and he makes a stop that really keeps his team about to get it in.
All right, we just got an update from the other semifinal. Wilson has taken a 9-6 lead over CD East.
Special teams. That's a field goal to take a lead.
Three receivers far side on 3rd and 9 from the 20. Shotgun from Alara. Looks to his right, pumps, now he's going to take off, has room left to run, gets around the defender, and then is taken, ridden out of bounds, but Millar is going to have a huge first down pickup for this Rams offense with 1:07 to go in the third.
Great pump fake. Completely sold the entire defense, and I mean, I understand why, because you've got a team that is in a third down and long situation. You have to expect them to throw the football at that point, except Central Dauphin has no intention of throwing the football right now, I don't think, because, again, they're trying to work clock, and the pump fake gets the entire defense out of position. He sees an opening on the left side and is able to scamper forward for a 12-yard gain.
Millar shotgun, two receivers far side, man in motion away from us, serve, give the serve. trying to bounce between the tackles there. He will pick up maybe a yard. Clock will continue to run. That'll bring up 2nd and 9. Rams will have to run one more play here before the quarter ends, at least.
Oh, no, this is going to be a run.
It'll definitely be a run play.
They'll run the ball again like they have on all but two plays so far in this game offensively, because that's what they do. And this is a great little response after the interception to just continue working more time.
Millar in the shotgun, made a motion away from us. High snap, serve. Serve bounces around and pinballs his way across the 35 up to the 36. Game at 2. And that should do it for the third quarter. Rams will not have to run another play. So we will swap ends, and we will go to the final 12 minutes here in the District 3 Quad A semifinal. Central Dauphin will take a 16-6 lead with them to the fourth. We'll come back with that fourth quarter. This is the District Semifinals on WMSS and WMSSFM.com.
Hornings Ace Hardware, located at 6000 Bluebird Avenue in Lingolstown, has been servicing the Harrisburg area for over 25 years and is a still elite dealer. Their staff is committed to truly being the most helpful hardware store. With their full rental service, repair department, and knowledgeable staff, they can help your to-do list become a to-done list. With winter coming, a full selection of snowblowers, shovels, and salt are available. Online at HorningsHardware.com. Their number is 545-1222.
St. Thomas Roasters, located in the heart of Lingolstown at 5951 Lingolstown Road, serves freshly brewed coffee, either piping hot or refreshingly iced every day. Breakfast sandwiches, smoothies, bagels, soups, and grilled paninis are also available. Live music featured every Friday and Saturday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Custom-made gift baskets and private parties are also available. Online at www.stthomasroasters.com. Their phone number is 717-526-4171.
Start the fourth quarter here at Mustang Stadium. Eric Thomas and Brian Kaiser with you. 12 minutes to go. District 3 Quad A semifinals. Central Dauphin has a 16-6 lead here, and they do have the ball facing a 3rd and 6 from the Rams' 36-yard line.
That's a third quarter there where it was a long drive for a field goal for CD, a long drive that results in no points for Governor Mifflin, and now this is the third possession of the second half.
The lay handoff to Serb. He's trying to get to the outside, gets a block. Serb turns the corner and gets driven out of bounds on the CD sideline and will have enough for the Rams first down. Another conversion with 11:51 to play.
I think the thing about that run from Serb that's going to be really overlooked is his willingness all game to cut back allows him to be able to bounce out successfully towards the outside. They're going to say he's out of bounds close to, but just enough for the first down. It didn't give him a great spot, but one that was just good enough to move the sticks. But Serb, on that play, there were a couple different times where he feinted with the right shoulder, cutting back to the inside, and just continued to bounce, bounce, bounce until he finally ran out of real estate on the out-of-bounds marker, but enough to just get the first down.
First and 10 for the Rams from their own 42. Man in motion towards us. Serb. Millar is going to take off. Quarterback draw. He is going to be hit at the line of scrimmage, driven back. It's going to be a loss of 1. And that'll bring up 2nd and 11 with 11:40 to go. Quick out-of-town scoreboard update. Actually, really in-town, but Wilson has a 9-6 lead over CD East in the other semifinal, and that game is about midway through the fourth quarter. So the winner of this game would face the winner of that game. They get to Saturday night next week, Hershey Park Stadium, 6 o'clock kickoff for the district final.
The dream's still alive, though, because as we've talked off air, Wilson's won all those games this year where they've had close games. But East lately has found ways to win games like that. They're done out of that one.
Cardiac Cats, CD East. And off to Serb. Turns up field. We'll get across the 45. Stop there as he's shy of the 46 on a gain that time. 4, and that will bring up 3rd down as we're under 11 minutes to play here.
And this is a play with 3rd down and longish yardage, about 6 yards to go, where normally you would consider throwing the football. But with a 2-score lead, a team that doesn't throw the ball overly well, I don't know that they're going to be willing to do that. I think they're going to be very willing to continue playing close to the vest here.
Trips near side, shotgun from Millar. Serving motion away from us on 3rd down. McNeil, the blocker in the backfield, as the hard count from Millar, he will give the serve. Serve dancing around, and he will squirt across the line of scrimmage for a gain of a yard, and that's going to bring up fourth down and five. And Kirshner will trot out to punt it away with 10:13 to go, and it's still a two-possession lead here for CD as they have a 16-6 lead.
That's Serb's 11th carry already here in the second half. 19 for the game, 70 yards overall, and 70 hard-fought yards for the junior running back for Central Dauphin.
1,200-yard rusher this season, underclassmen, a lot of them on this Rams team.
Felt that this team might be a year away. They may be getting there a year early if this keeps up.
Pollock is back deep to receive the Kirshner punt coming from left to right on your radio dial. The good snap to Kirshner. He's going to get it away. It's a high spiraling kick that is trailing towards the 20, and it's going to roll out of bounds inside the 15 at the 13 on another great effort by Kirshner with 9:28 to play.
And another big advantage play for Central Dauphin in special teams. Win or lose in this game, I think after the game, I think Coach McNamee is going to be able to speak glowingly of his special teams and the effect that they've had on this game. Remember, you've got a 34-yard field goal here in the second half. In the first half, you had a blocked punt for a touchdown. You've had a couple of nice returns on kickoffs that have set things up. You've had two great punts already that have pinned this Governor Mifflin team deep. That has been a huge advantage in this game.
9:28 to play. Johnson's under center, attacking the end zone to our left. Mifflin, down 16-6. We'll give it to Fontanez, as Fontanez will get across the 20 to the 21. It's an 8-yard pickup. That'll bring up second down and short.
Problem is now, with Fontanez as your main guy, he's capable of breaking it long, but you don't normally expect somebody to break the long gainer necessarily on the fullback dive.
Johnson will hand off again. Fontanez bounces off the tackle and then is dragged down by the shirt as he's still fighting his way, but he got slowed up there, and it's a good thing he did, because otherwise he was going to break that one into the clear. But he does pick up a Mifflin first down with 8:53 to go.
And they called him down as forward progress back at the 31-yard line,
wow,
which is not a beneficial thing for the home team.
Mifflin's going hurry-up offense here with Johnson under center on first and 10. Johnson going to run option to the right side, pitch to Ortiz, and he's going to be stood up and taken down at the line of scrimmage. Joe Williams that time, along with a couple of others, Malik Fry and one or two other Rams there for the stop.
For as much as they have run the ball with Fontanez in the second half, that was tremendous team discipline defensively for Central Dauphin on the option, because they were waiting for the pitch. At some point, they allowed the inside game to go, and the ends and linebackers were ready for both a quarterback forcing the pitch to a guy that they don't mind as much having the football in Ortiz.
Second down and 8 from the 32. Johnson under center again. Back to pass. Eli Robinson is in the backfield and will take him down for the sack back at the 25. A 7-yard loss. And on the season, the 7.5 sack for Robinson. And a huge, huge stand that time by the Rams defense to force third and long.
Oh, what a great job by Robinson. And that's one of the advantages that we see, Eric, of a team that here in the second half, up by 10 points, can now take some chances at the line of scrimmage and be a little bit more aggressive with that front four going and chasing, nobody blocking Robinson. He reads immediately that it's a pass and chases down the quarterback for a loss of 6.
Wilson's still up in the other semifinal, 9-6. They're working their way down towards the end of the game, as are we here with 7.5 to go now. As Johnson will go back to pass, he's got backside pressure coming. He throws back across the field. They have this set up perfectly, as getting down the far sideline is going to be Ortiz cutting back middle of the field and is taken down into CD territory across the 40-yard line. And a big, big first down as we got an injured Ram on the play as well.
That's Micah Parsons.
And it's Micah Parsons who's been hobbled here in this second half. But that was so well designed on the throwback.
Tremendous, and it bought hook, line, and sinker by the Central Dauphin defense. They had everybody chasing Johnson. They know that he's a threat to run the football. They had a single receiver over here to the left, and then they set up student body in front of Ortiz and hit him for a big gainer. Caught, I think it was 39 on the play.
Ortiz will carry as Parsons stays out there. We got a flag that comes in right as the play was ending. Ortiz got the carry that time. and it was thrown in the area holding, so we'll see here as we have 6:57 to go in this contest. Referees confer, and we have a face mask on the Rams. So a big and costly penalty for this Central Dolphin defense. It's a 5-yard variety, so it's not the personal foul, but still 5 yards. And that's the automatic first down for the Mifflin offense with 6:57 to go. Not an automatic first down, I apologize. But
5 yards is 5 yards.
5 yards is 5 yards, right.
And you've got a first and two is what it's going to end up being at the end of that one. So they keep it down, but unfortunately for CD, they only have to get 2 more yards to pick up the first.
Johnson under center. Fake. He is under heavy pressure and is going to go down again. Looks like the play just couldn't develop in time as it is Joe Williams and Rashawn Gabriel who converge for the stop.
Micah Parsons was back in there, and he was a part of it as well. He had 3 guys there, regardless of what it was. What it was not a well-designed play because they were looking for a quick hit. I think they were thinking about Bortz, who they found a few times in this game. The Rams were on it. Johnson tucked it and tried to bring it back down, looked the other way, and he was already engulfed.
Second down in three. Johnson taking off in space. It's tripped up by Fry, but not before he gets the first down with 6:05 to go. Great job by Fry to save the touchdown, essentially.
Well, it was a great job by Fry. The problem is that should have been a penalty in the backfield. Fontenez fell out of his stance before the ball was snapped and should have been a 16-yard penalty on the play, and we have one back here.
Yeah, we got a flag thrown all the way back at the 30. It's a sideline warning against the Rams.
It wasn't what I thought it was. It looked like Fontenez fell out of his stance before the ball was snapped in the backfield, and he fell forward. So you can't call it that it's a legal motion play because he's falling forward. It's a simulation of the snap. At least that's what I saw.
Time keeps it ticking here, BK, as it's down to 6 minutes now, and Mifflin is still down by 10.
Yeah, but if they score here, they're no longer down by 2 scores.
True. Handoff on first down, it's to Fontenez, and he's going to be dragged down in the backfield.
Elijah Robinson just reached in there, grabbed him around the waist, and pulled him backwards. He has had a whale of a game so far. Continues to just play huge inside. We knew the linebackers would have to be good at filling, but we also, if this team is going to be able to stop the run the way they have tonight, Robinson had to come to play big, and he has.
Big update from that Wilson East game after the play. Fontenez will carry on 2nd and 8. He gets down to the 10-yard line. It's a 4-yard pickup. An update over at Gursky as Wilson has intercepted Justice Jacobs and has possession at its own 36 with 5:16 to play, and they are up in that game 9-6. Shane Dancer's had a good game for the Bulldogs. We'll see if they can salt that one away as Johnson will keep. Johnson barreling off the right side and will work his way down to the 5-yard line, and that will be enough for the first down. Bring up first and goal on a gain of 5 with 4:50 to play.
I've got Johnson with 91 yards. I've got Fontenez with 92 yards. But I've got the Mustangs right now with just 6 points. So the clock now ticks, or will tick, after they restarted after the first down at under 5 minutes left to go. So this drive has been a great one. They've driven down the field, but they've taken a lot of time off the clock. Still both teams with all 3 timeouts remaining, but the Rams still up by 10.
Johnson breaks the huddle. He's under center. He's got 2 receivers to the near side. He will keep on first and goal, and he'll walk into the end zone for the touchdown. A 5-yard touchdown run for Jan Johnson, the all-world senior for the Mustangs. They have cut the CD lead down to 16-12 with 4:42 to play.
And the fake to the right side, everybody over on that side looking for Fontenez to have the football, but it was the offensive line who sealed the guard center, both really getting great drive blocks on that play, being able to push and open up that hole that Johnson just was able to look at what was going on and walk through it.
Wilson Fontenez is down. He is down on the play.
And this is a weird area for him to be down, too, because he started going towards, he was running in that play. He ended up getting hit and tackled on the play, and he's coming off the field after the touchdown, and he just falls at the 18-yard line. So that's the area that where he fell
you usually expect some sort of head injury, not to speculate too much, but that would be what the expected thing would be, considering that he was fine from a physical standpoint in terms of legs, anything like that, and just went down at the 18-yard line. Now, he's moving out there, but they are checking on him at this point.
Wilson's down to the CDE's 20-yard line, just quick there with 3:32 to go. East has two timeouts remaining in that game. We're going to step aside for a timeout here as well. 4:42 to play, point after pending. This is the District 3 semifinals on WMSS and WMSSFM.com.
Gilligan's 2, located at 10 North Houks Road, just a short drive from Landis Field, is open daily, and the kitchen is open until midnight. Daily drink specials and a menu filled with chicken, pasta, seafood, wings, burgers, and salads. Every Tuesday is trivia night. Gilligan's 2, a great place to stop in and celebrate a CD Rams victory, just a short drive from Landis Field. Online at gilligansbarandgrill.net, their number is 652-2611. Gilligan's Bar and Grill, the place where friends meet.
We're still fresh. After 30 years in the making, this is WMSS Middletown.
Back here at Mustang Stadium, Eric Thomas and Brian Kise with you. 4:42 to play as the point after here still yet to be kicked by Jan Johnson as Wilson Fontanez is out here. He is on his knees over here on the near the trainer's table on the Governor Mifflin sideline. It does not look good for him right there.
Yeah,
he's getting looked at by the training staff.
Let me put it this way. From a non-medical observer's opinion, he should not go back in. In today's day and age where we're looking at concussions and safety, that's the first thing that comes through.
High snap. Johnson's snapper is good. So at 4:42 to play, Governor Mifflin has cut this down to a one-possession game at 16-13. We'll keep it here for the timeout as now the Rams have to come up with a way here to run some clock. And, you know,
they've moved the ball, score, but they've moved the ball well here in the second half, though, Eric. And what you've seen out of the Rams in the second half is the ability to move the ball on the ground, work some clock. Your goal at this point is to make Governor Mifflin use all their timeouts on defense. That is the goal. Now, they won't have to do it if you three and out. So it's important, imperative right now for the Rams offensively to pick up a first down or two just to force the hand of the Mustangs.
3:07 left to go in the other semifinal as Wilson's still driving. They're down to the City East 24. There's a timeout for an injury over there to Jihad Neibauer. So Wilson at the CD East 24-yard line, 3:07 to play, and they are up 9-6, and they're trying to put that one out of reach.
You're not expecting an onside kick here either, but you also have to be very aware of the potential that you could sneak one of those in here at this point, or a pooch kick, something like that. So, I mean, the hands team, the players up front must be aware here. You never know when somebody could try to sneak something along those lines, but you definitely don't expect it here.
Three timeouts left for each team. CD has a three-point lead. Johnson runs up. He will squib it. It's going to take a bounce. Rams have to get on it, and they do pick it up as Contrell Armour will get it and take it down shy of the 30-yard line. So 29-yard line, Rams will start their first and 10.
That's what I was afraid of, one of those sort of kicks where it could roll around for a little while, nobody really getting control of it right away. And fortunately for Central Dauphin, Contrell Armour comes up and grabs the ball with somebody right in his face as he's about to pick it up. So the crowd really getting into it now, trying to help their Mustangs, because the home team is down right now to the third-seeded Rams.
David Payton, the quarterback, he's got Armour far side, serve near side, Gabriel in motion, lines up tight end left. Man in motion away from us, serve, snap, give a serve, serve, up the middle, fighting his way and getting up to the 34-yard line. Gain of 5, 2nd and 5 upcoming now. And important also to note, too, that Mifflin does have Garrett Henry, the senior defensive lineman, out there on this possession.
Oh, you know, if there's any chance and he's going to be able to go, he's going to be out there now. He may be a little bit fresher than a few of the other players, too, at this point, because he hasn't played for long stretches of this game. The Rams is looking to work clock.
4 minutes to go for a shot at the district final. Armour far side, serve near side. Shotgun for Peyton McNeil. in the backfield. Serving motion away from us. Second and five. Bank, Peyton will keep off the football, and it is recovered by Governor Mifflin. David Peyton lost the football and the turnover. The Rams have not had a turnover problem all year, and it comes up at the absolute worst time for the CD offense.
A heartbreaker there, but the important thing for the Rams to think about right now is, as of right now, they still have the lead. So defensively, they now have to take this opportunity that has been given to Governor Mifflin on the fumble, and it's a non-contact fumble from Peyton. He's just looking to go forward. Didn't see anybody actually get his hands on the ball in there. Peyton just trying to move forward and bring the ball back the other way from Serb. Just loses the handle on the ball. It pops backwards. Really, realistically, the Rams lucky that that one wasn't returned for a touchdown, because there was every opportunity for it to have happened that way. But the momentum is all with Governor Mifflin right now.
First and 10 from the Rams 26. Johnson, smelling blood here, goes on the keeper. He is going to be tripped up. He will stay on his feet and get a pickup that time of one. So he's down at 25. And that'll bring up second and 9 with 3.5 to go. Can the CD defense once again come up with a big play here?
And remember, Fontenay's out of the game right now. They're not allowing him back in, although somehow he's gotten his helmet. That's the first thing you take away from somebody after they have the head injury. But now that puts everything on Johnson. And if you're Central Dauphin, you should know that at this point. That's why Elijah Robinson, as soon as he sees Johnson go that way, was able to get inside and make the stop after a gain of just one.
CD East has the ball with 1:23 to go. They're down to fourth down on their own 15-yard line over in the other semifinal. Johnson rolls out, will throw back, and it's knocked away by Adam Thornton, who read the screen perfectly and got up to make the big play. Third down and 9 coming up.
They read it well, and they also pressured Johnson when he's dropping back to pass, so he didn't have any time to wait on the play. But great job by Thornton. Reading that play from the get-go, they saw it once. It burned them on the last time that the Mustangs had the football, but the Ram defense is there, as they have been so many times this season, and now third down and 9, and they are nowhere close to field goal range. And this, I think, is a mistake from Governor Mifflin in some ways here, because now, let's say you don't pick up the score that you need here, they call timeout here to talk about what they want to do on third down and 9, which I understand, but it loses a timeout that if you don't score on this series, you may need defensively.
And we will step aside for a quick timeout as well. 2:58 to go. This is the District 3 semifinals in WMSS and WMSSFM.com.
The Panther Ram Foundation supports programs directly benefiting students in Central Dauphin schools. With the cost of public education today and almost 11,000 students, the foundation is used to provide funding for essential educational needs such as extracurricular activities, enhanced learning activities, or providing food for our children to have a healthy nutrition over the weekend. The Panther Ram Foundation was formed in 2001 to complement students' academic experiences in the Central Dauphin School District with programs that will foster greater learning and understanding that might not be sustainable due to a lack of funding. Online at pantherram.org.
Back here at Mustang Stadium, 3rd and 9 from the 25 for Governor Mifflin. Johnson will keep. He will go up the middle. He will get hit. Straight up the middle, Reed Albright is there to stop him. The gain is 3, and that's going to bring up 4th down and 6 with 2:47 and a running clock here. And Mifflin is going to send out Pollock. And it looks like Jan Johnson here, Brian, is going to try to tie this one up. Holder is Pollock, and he is out there in the field.
I'm going to tell you right now, he ain't making this.
This is a 40-yard attempt.
This is, based on anything we've seen all season long from this team, this is asking a lot with the clock running.
Well, he has boomed him from distance in warm-ups. We'll see what he does here. Jan Johnson to try to tie this one up. It's blocked, but the play is blown dead. Blown dead before the kick. A timeout call to try to freeze.
Oh, my God.
Johnson, and
why?
That is a critical mistake for CD to call the timeout. They had the field goal blocked.
They had the field goal blocked, and now after what I... This is an easy call for me now after you're allowing a team to take a look at what they have. There's no way I'm letting him kick this one again if I'm Coach Vecchio from Governor Mifflin. That ball was line drive
maybe below the rear end of his center. Update from that other semifinal. CD East converted the 4th and 10 from its own 15. Neibauer, quarterback, has a couple of completions with 55 seconds left. They are at midfield and trailing Wilson 9-6.
You never know.
Yeah, you never know. But how about, let's talk about this right here. 2:13 to go, 16-13. CD leads at 4th and 7. And after just a mistake. I mean, bottom line, a mistake by CD to call that timeout.
It's a mistake because I think they panicked. What's the worst that happens if you're Central Dolphin there?
It's tied and you get the ball back.
Right. The game is tied. There's no reason to call that timeout. Unbelievable that they choose that time. This isn't the NFL. And Jan Johnson is nowhere near as accurate as what you've seen many of the top kickers.
Does have a strong leg, so Pollock's going to hold. We're going to tee it up and try it one more time here.
Wow.
With 2:13 to go. And now McVecchio and Governor Mifflin will call timeout with 2:13 to play.
Well, at least we've now seen both coaches, both sidelines have now blown timeouts here at times when they should not.
Wilson has advanced to next Saturday's District 3 final. Justice Jacobs fumbled, and Wilson recovered with 13 seconds to go. So the Bulldogs are going back to the district final again under Doug Doms, and again in their history. They will play next Saturday night against either Governor Mifflin, who's trying to tie this one up, or Central Dolphin, who has a 16-13 lead. Obviously, well, Mifflin, it's a rematch, and with CD, it would be a rematch from 2011.
It's very simple here. If you called timeout, put the tee away. There's no way you should be kicking the field goal now when the third time, but they still have Johnson looking at the tee. He's going to put it out there, and they're going to try the field goal. I mean, why on earth would you call timeout there? Because if he doesn't make the field goal, you only have one timeout left to go, and the Rams can almost run out the clock on their own.
Pollock will try this again to hold, and Johnson to kick. Uprights to our left to tie this one up. It's a high snap. Pressure coming. A low knuckleball is nowhere near good. And the Rams have held again as Johnson, in frustration, throws the equipment, and that will stop the clock with 2:08 to go, and the Rams will take over up by three, and they can now try to milk this 2:08 off the clock and get to Hershey to play Wilson for the district title.
Eric, I can't even begin to fathom anything that we've just watched over the last 5 minutes of inactivity. You had crazy timeouts from both sidelines. You've got one team who doesn't have a kicking game, who missed an extra point earlier on a kick that was just blocked well wide to the side earlier in this contest, all of a sudden decide that they're going to try a 34-yard attempt, or was that a 39-yard attempt? They could have put it right next to the goalpost. That wasn't going anywhere. Just unspeakable what we just watched.
David Payton fumbled his last time. It's A.J. Millar in a quarterback. Mifflin defense is there to drive serve down.
That wasn't serve. That was McNeil that time.
Rather McNeil, I beg your pardon.
Oh, no, you're right.
Serve. And that's going to another timeout call by the Mustangs here with 1:59 to play.
Yeah, but that's their last timeout because they were busy calling timeouts to freeze their own kicker. So they have no timeouts remaining, and now the Rams will have an opportunity to run what essentially, assuming that they keep the ball on the ground, for the remainder of this contest, will be essentially able to get this thing down under maybe about 40 seconds left to go.
We started 13 weeks ago at Manheim Township High School in week one, and we knew at that point, after the just complete insanity of that fourth quarter and how Central Dolphin was able to escape there with the win, the block punt by Micah Parsons, he scooped it up, he scored the touchdown to tie the game, he forced the bad throw in overtime, Rams went into overtime. We knew at that point that this season was going to be, we didn't know where we were going to end up, but we knew it was going to be a lot of fun, and this has been just another chapter in what this season has been.
This has been a blast. I can't even imagine, I mean, just all the games we've done this year that have just gone down to the wire here, there, and just things that have just been exciting football for a team that doesn't do anything what you would consider really exciting.
Second and 14 from their own 16-yard line. 1:59 to go as Millar's under center this time. Hard count. He goes. He hands off to Serb. And the Mifflin defense, again, is right there. Serb's going to be stopped maybe for a gain of one. That's going to bring up third and 13. But the more important factor here, the clock continues to run.
Yeah.
Strickland is going to get the ball back barring a first down conversion, though.
But the one thing I think the fumble from Peyton also may take out of the equation here for Central Dauphin is I don't see them going wide on this play. I think they're going to run the ball up the gut. The last thing you want is the opportunity for a running back to be going wide, have the ball poked out, and have nobody around him in case something would go wrong.
Coming up in a minute 20, the Blue Moose Bar and Grill postgame show online at BlueMooseHarrisburg.com. Thank them and all our sponsors here tonight for joining us on this district semifinal. Miller's going to keep and roll out to the far side. A.J. down the sideline is going to be taken out of bounds, but he's going to be shy of the first down.
Now he's short of the first down, but he stayed inbounds.
Somehow fell down inbounds. So the clock's going to continue to wind as we are now under a minute. We are now under a minute here as Millar, as Brian pointed out, was able just to stay in bounds by the slimmest of margins. It's going to be fourth down and three from the 27, and the Rams are just going to let that clock roll as long as they possibly can.
I think we're going to be down 25 seconds, somewhere around there maybe, before they have to punt the ball away. And I think it also may force the hand of Governor Mifflin on special teams. I think they have to go after Kirshner and try to get the block.
Yeah, he's had a penchant for some slow-developing punts. We saw it last week against Lower Dauphin, and he did have some trouble last week as the Rams will burn a timeout here with 24 seconds to go. So they will have to punt it away with 24 seconds to play, up by three, and that's all that separates Central Dauphin from returning to the district final for the first time since 2011.
And they go back to that one timeout that Governor Mifflin called out of the blue for no reason, just to, again, allow their kicker more time to think about what he was about to not do, which is kick a field goal. And that timeout would have been very important there because they would be getting the ball back with about a minute left to go in the game. Instead, now you've got 25 seconds left to go where you're going to punt the ball. And without a block, this is a lot to ask of Governor Mifflin, but you do have a quarterback with a very strong arm. As long as Kirshner gets it out of there, we will see what happens here, but they are going to send one man back to return.
It's going to be Pollock, who's been the big return man.
Had a touchdown return on a kickoff in the last game against Cumberland Valley. Well, I think he's probably going to have to do this time without any blocking whatsoever back there for him, as I can't see them doing anything but booming this ball and just going after the punt.
Is a punt, I got to ask you this quickly, is a punt here too risky? They're going to line up here. They're going to line up and go for it here. No punt.
Oh, no, they're not. They're going to try to hard count.
Sides, yeah.
And Millar is very good at the hard count. But they didn't give him enough time to do it.
No, sure didn't. Now we have a second here to talk about this. I raised the question here, and you have to ask it, just in this scenario here. 24 seconds to go, you're up by three. Is a punt in this situation too risky?
No.
You have to. Think about taking the safety at all.
No, you have to here. Because what are you worried about at this point? If they block the punt, there's still a good chance that they're not even going to get in the end zone with the punt. They still only have scant seconds to actually do anything with it. So I think you have to punt the ball here. You have to get them as far away from your goal line as possible. And if you're saying take a safety, that now you're asking Kirshner, assuming that he's the guy that's back there, to run 15 yards behind where he's going to receive the punt, and I don't see that being a wise decision. At this point, you trust your special teams. They're the reason, honestly, that you are at this point. If you look at what they've done today, the special teams have gotten you here. You trust them to get the punt away.
Said it last night. A team that would score a non-offensive touchdown would decide this game here tonight, and that's essentially what has done it. Mifflin did get a handle on the punt. It's going to take a CD bounce. Pollock is going to return it. Fry gets blown up on the block, and then Pollock is chased out of bounds on the play. Malik Fry got annihilated that time by Dupel, I believe, or was that Ortiz? That was Dupel that did it, and Fry is slow to get up, so he is shaking up on the play, and the Rams need him out there at corner.
That's the key, okay? You've got a guy jumping around sort of like an Oakland Raider making a sack on third down at the end of a game last night and dancing around as they're still behind by 3 points. It was a tremendous block. The thing that matters here is one of the better defensive backs for Central Dauphin now out of the game for this play with 15 seconds left to go. they have no choice here now. 43-yard line. I mean, I don't know that you can even think about field goal here anyways. So they've got to look to air it out. And that also means this is not just secondary here. This is defensive front for Central Dauphin, who has to get home. A sack ends this thing. All season long, it's been this defensive line who's been able to get home so many times. Can they do it here?
Jan Johnson in the shotgun. He's got two receivers near side. Receiver far side on first down. 15 seconds to go. Johnson back to pass. Throws far side. Pass is intercepted. It is intercepted on the far sideline. It is Mike Betts.
That's his first pick of the year.
And that is it.
Mike Betts' first interception of the season has locked this one down. The Rams pull a shocker on the road here at Governor Mifflin. They'll win 16-13.
Mike Betts, with great coverage, stepped right in front of the pass, picked it off. That is the second interception thrown by Johnson tonight, the eighth on the season. And Central Dauphin will take one knee and will head to Saturday night next week against Wilson for the district championship at Hershey Park Stadium with a 6 o'clock kickoff.
Partner, I don't know that either one of us thought coming into this game that the perfect scenario could play out for Central Dauphin. This team played a perfect game for what they needed to do to win on the road tonight.
The kneel down, and it's over. Central Dauphin goes on the road for the first time since 2010 in the playoffs in districts, and they win it here tonight 16-13, and they will go to Saturday night next week against Wilson for the district championship, a rematch of the 2011 final. When we come back to Blue Moose Bar and Grill postgame show, we'll hear from Central Dauphin head coach Glenn McNamee. Maybe we'll try to get defensive coordinator Sean Rossler as well for the effort that his unit put out there tonight. That all comes your way next. Rams win it 16-13. This is the District 3 semifinals on WMSS and WMSSFM.com.
The Blue Moose Bar and Grill, located at 6791 Linglestown Road, serves classic American home cooking with tasty twists. Check out their full menu of fresh cooked foods with something for everyone. Wings, pizza, sandwiches, meatloaf, chicken pie, crab cakes, and filet mignon. The Blue Moose is your headquarters for anything to do with sports, featuring 22 television sets. They also offer entertainment Wednesday to Saturday with trivia and bands. Their phone number is 717-651-9493, or check them out online at bluemooseharrisburg.com.
Christopher's Pizza and Subs, located at 4422 Oakhurst Boulevard, just off Linglestown Road, is a proud sponsor of the Central Dauphin Rams. Open 10 a.m. until 10 p.m. daily. Christopher's offers subs, pizza, salads, strombolis, and pasta. Dine in or take out. Pizza selections include Sicilian Square, Thick Crust, Chicken Parmesan, and Neapolitan Round Thin Crust. Their number is 540-9433. Christopher's Pizza and Subs, where every day is a pizza day.
GPS Solutions, owned and operated by Anthony Cristillo, is a proud sponsor of Central Dauphin football. Serving the area's fleet tracking and paperless application needs, GPS Solutions LLC provides solutions for service industry fleets. Get rid of the paper and go paperless. Their phone number is 717-554-7512.
Ricker Construction, family owned and operated since 1974, serving the community's construction, excavating, and snow removal needs. Ricker Construction specializes in utility services, access road installation, cell site construction, and commercial construction. With the winter months coming up, Ricker Construction is available for snow removal needs as well. Online at rickerconstruction.net. Their number is 648-8241. Ricker Construction, proud sponsor of the CD Rams football team.
Ted's Bar and Grill, two great locations, same great wings. 6197 Allentown Boulevard and 1313 North 2nd Street in Midtown Harrisburg. Ted's has a brand new menu, and all food is made fresh daily. Daily lunch and dinner specials also available. Both locations open Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to midnight, Saturday and Sunday, 11 a.m. to 2 a.m. Coming in the fall of 2015, a new location in West Hanover Township. Their number is 717-652-3832 for the Allentown Boulevard location, 717-232-2522 for the Midtown location. Online at www.tedsbarandgrill.com.
And welcome back here, Governor Mifflin.
where Central Dauphin has advanced with a 16-13 victory over Governor Mifflin. We're here on the Blue Moose Bar and Grill postgame show. Blue Moose Bar and Grill, 717-651-9493, or online at www.bluemooseharrisburg.com. What a game we have seen here tonight. Central Dauphin coming into this game as an underdog against a team that had been mowing teams down. 49-7 against Redline in round one. 49-7 matching score against Cumberland Valley, a team that had defeated Central Dauphin 7-0 in the season. But they lost that game, Cumberland Valley did last week, 49-7 to Governor Mifflin, a team that was red hot on their home field. And Central Dauphin comes in here today and comes away with a 16-13 victory. Recapping the scoring of this one, Central Dauphin deferred the option. They ended up kicking off to start the game. Three and out was what Mifflin did with their first possession. Central Dauphin getting great field position. And on the second play from scrimmage for Central Dauphin, David Payton goes 49 yards down to the Governor Mifflin one. A couple plays after that, Raleigh Serb, a 5-yard touchdown run. The extra point was blocked, but Central Dauphin had a 6-0 lead, 9 minutes left to go in the first quarter. Governor Mifflin would immediately respond, and it would be a Johnson touchdown run, an 8-play, 80-yard drive that culminated in Johnson's touchdown run with 5:19 left to go in the first quarter. The extra point, though, was blocked well wide, or was kicked well wide to the right on the play, and we were tied at 6 apiece. We would stay that way until the first play of the second quarter, when after Central Dauphin ends up quick kicking and pinning Governor Mifflin deep in their own territory, the defense holds, and then they were able to come through in special teams with Elijah Robinson, a blocked punt. Gary Gaston recovered it in the end zone for a touchdown. And the Jake Kirshner extra point gave us a halftime score of 13-6, as that play was the only scoring in the entire second quarter of action. In the second half, Central Dauphin would get the opening kickoff and a tremendous drive as they marched down the field after a great kickoff return from Malik Fry put them at their own 49-yard line. They drove 34 yards. The drive stalled, but Jacob Kirshner, from 34 yards out, was able to convert with a field goal that ended up being the determining factor in this game. It was 7:22 left to go in the third quarter. Central Dauphin had a 16-6 lead. The very next possession, Governor Mifflin drove down the field on the back of their outstanding senior running back, Wilson Fontanez, and continually giving him the ball over and over again. But the drive stalled as they were thrown back after getting a first and goal on the 9. A 1-yard loss on the very next play from scrimmage was compounded by a 15-yard unsportsmanlike penalty call against Governor Mifflin. They end up getting no points out of the drive as a fourth down pass is picked off by Malik Fry inside the 5-yard line. Rams would get a few first downs, work some clock, but then eventually had to punt the football away, and at that point, Governor Mifflin was ready to go, but they finally were able to get back on the board. 4:42 left to go in the fourth quarter. Johnson's second touchdown run of the game, this one of 5 yards, and his extra point made it 16-13 in favor of Central Dauphin. Rams looking to work the clock, trying to run out the rest of the time, but David Payton fumbles, and the ball recovered by Mifflin at the Ram 25-yard line. A few plays later, and Mifflin could get really no closer. And curiously, with the struggles that they had all night in the kicking game, they decided at that point that they would attempt a long-distance field goal. Each team called a timeout. Central Dauphin called a timeout just as Johnson was about to attempt the field goal attempt, and he ends up knuckleballing one directly into the line, so that one didn't count. They went back on the field, I thought it folly at that point that they would consider trying to kick it again. And it seemed like Governor Mifflin agreed, because as they went back out, Governor Mifflin called timeout. But then they did send Johnson back on the field, and Johnson ends up getting well over top of the ball on the fly, not even making it to the end zone on the fly on his attempt from 39 yards out. And in the process, they also had eliminated all but one of their timeouts. Central Dauphin would try to run out the remaining time on the clock. They got very close to doing so, having to punt with about 25 seconds left to go in the football game in their own end. Jake Kirshner, who had a tremendous game, not just on kickoffs, on field goals, but also on punts, was able to get the ball out of there under great duress, enough so that it got partially deflected, but still was out of there, away from the goal line. And on the very next play, the last one that Governor Mifflin would run on offense with just scant seconds left to go, Jan Johnson, back to pass, throwing the ball directly to linebacker Mike Betts, the second pick of the game for Central Dauphin, and one that wraps up this contest. A 16-13 thriller, the Rams on the road advance to play Wilson in next week's district championship game. Let's look at our final statistics of this one. Let's start with Governor Mifflin. Jan Johnson, 19 carries for 100 yards, two touchdowns in the game. Wilson Fontanez, 17 carries for 92 yards, but maybe overlooked a bit the fact that in the very last drive on the touchdown that they scored, went out of the game with what appeared to be a head injury, could not return to the game when on the very next series when they got the football, they really could have used his bulldozing ability inside. He was not available, and they went one-dimensional with Johnson and could not pick up the first down. Ortiz, 5 carries for 12 yards. Pollock had a carry for minus 2. Johnson in the game, throwing the football. First half, very efficient. Second half, not so much. He was just 1 for 4 after the break with a couple of interceptions for the game. 6 of 13, 106 yards, and those two interceptions. Ortiz, 3 catches for 56 yards. Bortz, the tight end, 2 catches for 36. Pollock had the other catch for 14 yards. For Central Dauphin, led in rushing today by David Payton, 11 carries for 84 yards. Raleigh Serb, 22 carries, 72 yards. So lots of volume, not as much yardage, but some key gains at key times for Serb tonight. He did also have the one offensive touchdown tonight for the Rams. A.J. Millar, 4 carries for 23 yards. Stephen McNeil had a carry for 6 yards. Only one pass needed to be completed tonight for the Rams. That was a David Payton reception of a pass from A.J. Millar. And Payton was 0 for 1, throwing Millar 1 for 1 in the game. The Rams overall had a total of 185 yards rushing, just 5 passing for 190 yards of total offense. Governor Mifflin moving the ball more. 202 on the ground, 106 through the air, but they did have 2 turnovers compared to 1 for Central Dauphin, and it was the advantage in special teams, which was a huge, huge key in this game for Central Dauphin. We're going to step out for one final break. When we come back, we'll hopefully have words with Central Dauphin head football coach Glenn McNamee, maybe others, and we will see whoever we can get for that. But we're going to step out one final time here on our post-game show. And again, this is the Blue Moose Bar and Grill post-game show. Back after this for a final wrap and close here on WMSSFM.com.
The CD Rams Club mission is to advance the great winning tradition of Central Dauphin through character development, academic development, and physical development of each player that enables them to reach their full potential while at Central Dauphin and in their lives after graduation. The core values of the Rams Club are hard work, selflessness, and enthusiasm. Online at cdschools.info/CD Rams Club. The CD Rams Club, proud sponsors of the Central Dauphin football team.
Hornings Ace Hardware, located at 6000 Bluebird Avenue in Lingolstown, has been servicing the Harrisburg area for over 25 years and is a still elite dealer. Their staff is committed to truly being the most helpful hardware store. With their full rental service, repair department, and knowledgeable staff, they can help your to-do list become a to-done list. With winter coming, a full selection of snowblowers, shovels, and salt are available. Online at HorningsHardware.com. Their number is 545-1222.
St. Thomas Roasters, located in the heart of Lingolstown at 5951 Lingolstown Road, serves freshly brewed coffee, either piping hot or refreshingly iced every day. Breakfast sandwiches, smoothies, bagels, soups, and grilled paninis are also available. Live music featured every Friday and Saturday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Custom-made gift baskets and private parties are also available. Online at www.stthomasroasters.com. Their phone number is 717-526-4171.
The Panther Rand Foundation supports programs directly benefiting students in Central Dauphin schools. With the cost of public education today and almost 11,000 students, the foundation is used to provide funding for essential educational needs such as extracurricular activities, enhanced learning activities, or providing food for our children to have a healthy nutrition over the weekend. The Panther Rand Foundation was formed in 2001 to complement students' academic experiences in the Central Dauphin School District with programs that will foster greater learning and understanding and might not be sustainable due to a lack of funding. Online at pantherram.org.
The Blue Moose Bar and Grill, located at 6791 Lingolstown Road, serves classic American home cooking with tasty twists. Check out their full menu of fresh cooked foods with something for everyone. Wings, pizza, sandwiches, meatloaf, chicken pie, crab cakes, and filet mignon. The Blue Moose is your headquarters for anything to do with sports, featuring 22 television sets. They also offer entertainment Wednesday to Saturday with trivia and bands. Their phone number is 717-651-9493, or check them out online at bluemooseharrisburg.com.
Christopher's Pizza and Subs, located at 4422 Oakhurst Boulevard, just off Lingolstown Road, is a proud sponsor of the Central Dauphin Rams. Open 10 a.m. until 10 p.m. daily. Christopher's offers subs, pizza, salads, strombolis, and pasta. Dine in or take out. Pizza selections include Sicilian Square, Thick Crust, Chicken Parmesan, and Neapolitan Round Thin Crust. Their number is 540-9433. Christopher's Pizza and Subs, where every day is a pizza day.
And welcome back here one final time here to Governor Mifflin High School Stadium, where the Mustangs go down to defeat at the hands of the Central Dauphin Rams. The Rams, the number 3 seed, knock off the number 2 seed Governor Mifflin by a final score of 16-13. Let's go right to Eric Thomas, who is with Central Dauphin head football coach Glenn McNamee.
Brian, we're down here on the field with Central Dauphin head coach Glenn McNamee. Let's listen in on him.
Tell me a little bit about the end there. Johnson's a heck of a kicker, but he didn't have a good night. I saw him before. He can usually beat it pretty well.
He's a heck of a player, period. No game comes down to one play. That was a heck of a slugfest right there. That's what we expected. We talked about taking this to the 12th round. Our kids took it to the 12th round. Give credit to Governor Mifflin. They fought to that 12th round, too, and it ended up being a heck of a game in the end.
Coach, what was going on there with that scenario with the field goal there? I mean, you guys obviously tried to freeze him, and then Nick ends up freezing him. Can you just describe kind of the frantic 3-4-minute scenario?
It's a long field goal, and a little bit into a headwind. So I'm sure they were wondering whether they should go forward a field goal, and we were wondering if they were going to go forward a field goal. So that depends. That kind of determines what personnel you want on the field.
How important was it for you guys to come out offensively tonight? You get the stop to start the game, but then you take the ball right down the field and really run it right down the throat to get the early lead.
It was exceptionally important. As we said in pregame, these guys ran everybody right out of the stadium in the first half throughout the year, most everybody. They're averaging 30 points a game. And we knew we had to come out and punch back in the first half, make it a four-quarter game, and hopefully win in that 12th round.
Tell us about your defense. I was here last weekend, okay, and the plays that the Stangs were running against the Eagles go for 10-15, like that shovel pass on fourth down the first half. Your boys were on it. I mean, they seemed to be a quick stepper than a step quicker than
what they're doing. I'm very proud of our defense because they have one heck of an offense. There's a reason they've run people out of the stadium at halftime. our kids really embraced that challenge from the very beginning of the week. Our scout team did a very nice job on offense, and they came back to physicality tonight, and that was the result.
You guys had a chance with 4 minutes to go to run it out. David has the miscommunication there. Ball has to get turned back over to your defense, and that's a pretty comfortable position for you to be.
That was huge. I mean, not only the field position, but the momentum to be able to go out there and make that stop was outstanding, but it was just kind of another day at the office for our defense and our staff.
You guys are going to get another crack at Wilson, a 14-12 game in week three this season. They had the controversial call, obviously, on the Mitch Nice touchdown pass that was nullified. You get him on a neutral turf for the trophy this time.
Yeah, Wilson has an outstanding program. My understanding is they don't have a loss this year. I don't think you need to know anymore. Great team, great program. We have the utmost respect, especially playing them in week three. And we're going to enjoy this win tonight, but we're going to quickly get back to work.
What does it mean that this team is loaded with underclassmen? A lot of people have been pointing towards next year for you guys, but here you are this year in the district final now.
Well, this is Central Dauphin. We have a great deal of pride in our football program. Our entire community does. There is no next year. We have a lot of kids here who work very hard, a senior class that doesn't want this to end. We're really looking towards whatever that next game is, and right now it happens to be a district championship.
Brian, that's Central Dauphin head coach Glenn McNamee. We're going to go ahead and get Mike Betts, and we'll be right back up to you.
All right. Thank you very much, Eric. And we're going to take a listen to that in just a second and go right back down to Eric when he can get Mike Betts. And, as you can tell, Coach McNamee, very happy about what happened and transpired today. Hey, let's go right back down to Eric.
And, Brian, we're back down here in the field with Central Dauphin outside linebacker Mike Betts. Just describe the play to us there. Jan Johnson's rolling out to your side. You stepped in front of the man and made a great play.
Yeah, it was my job to get on the hitch the whole game. They got me the very first time in the second quarter, and then that time I got under there, threw it right to me, and I got it.
The defense tonight seemed to play with a lot of intensity. We knew the focus was going to have to be on you guys to try to stop this high-powered rushing attack. Can you just kind of describe the feeling you have now? I know it's just a couple minutes after this game ended, but the defense played a pretty great game tonight.
It feels awesome, especially they averaged 30 points in the first half. They're blowing teams out. Our one goal is to shut them down. It feels awesome right now that we shut them down.
How about your play this season? Because you had to step in for Zach Hoffman, and you've played remarkably well this season. A lot of sacks. You've been a really good edge rusher this season. Your play, you know, this team, all these underclassmen now going to a district final, you get another crack at Wilson next Saturday night.
Yeah, well, I got to give credit to my other teammates. They opened that stuff up for me. It's not just me. It's this whole team. We just go out there, and we're playing as a team.
David fumbles that ball there. What's going through your mind at that point? You guys had an opportunity to try to milk the clock. There was 4 minutes to go, but what's going through your mind at that point?
At that point, it just left our mind. We tried to get the momentum back. We knew we needed a big stop because they were getting momentum, and we had to stop them and shut them down.
Did playing Redding a couple weeks ago help you guys for this game, do you think, seeing that option attack and the power rushing attack? They got you guys for 335 yards. And these two, Johnson and Fontenez, had over close to 100 each tonight. But did seeing that attack a couple weeks ago help you guys prepare for this?
Oh, it definitely helped us. They did a triple action just like them, and it was a great preparation for them.
All right, Mike, we'll talk to you next Saturday night. Congratulations, Brian. That Central Dauphin outside linebacker, Mike Betts. We'll send it back up to you.
Thank you very much, Eric. And obviously, Central often very happy about what they've done tonight, and they should be. Coming on the road here today with a tremendous effort. It's all facets of the game. We talked about this and where the one big advantage this team seemed to have in this contest more than anything else was in special teams. And if you look at the special teams points and the special teams plays in this game, as Eric rejoins me now in the box, Eric, you look at what Central Dauphin did today. They're outgained offensively, but they were opportunistic offensively. Defensively, they got key stops and key turnovers at times in this game when they were needed. But the big factor in this game, special teams. A couple big returns, a couple nice punts, a block punt return for a touchdown, and then a field goal that's the deciding margin in the game. There's a reason the coaches spend time working on that facet of the game, and we see why the Rams tonight are in this championship game now, and that's because of, in due part, to their success in special teams.
You're pretty much saying that it's gone the exact same way it's gone the other 12 weeks.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. You know, if you, I remember saying this to you, I think it was 2 years ago, or actually, I think it was the year we did the state final, and when you go to their practices and you watch the offense on one end or defense on the other end and work against the scout teams and all that,
off on the side and usually punting, you know, from sideline to sideline on their practice field, whoever their two punters are, they carry two, whoever their two punters are, and typically then the offense and the defense will work to one side and they'll just go down the other end and practice field goals. And that goes on for the duration of practice. And then they work on their kickoff returns and their punt returns for a good 25, 35, 40 minutes sometimes. They take a good quarter or half of their practice and devote it to special teams, either individually or as a unit. And, you know, Glenn McAdoo is the first guy to tell you. I mean, I said the old adage about running the football and winning with defense when it comes to November and December football. But the one thing that this team has done better than anybody else in this district since Mac has been at this school is play special teams. And nobody seems to appreciate the fact that they've won plenty of games.
I do.
I know that we do because we've done the majority of them over the last, you know, four seasons where they've had that happen. But you go back to 2011, championship season. Big reason why they won that state championship game was because of the North Allegheny game and the field position game that Casey Hartzell gave them punting the football. They obviously won it because Evan Brandis kicked the game-winning field goal. State championship game. Snowy Field, opportunistic offense. Played field position, their defense teed off on North Penn. That's how this team wins. And if that clicks, it doesn't matter if the passing game is not there. It just matters that the defense is there. The offense takes its chances every once in a while, but they have a consistent kicking special teams return game. They're in a position to win any game they go and play in.
The key drives offensively in this game that they had were a drive that they have a short field because of the defense getting a three and out, and then They get the ball at the 47-yard line.
Yep.
And Peyton has one big 49-yard run that sets them up and allows them to score a touchdown two plays later. The other big drive they had was at the beginning of the second half when Fry has the big kickoff return, give them great field position up to the basically midfield, to the yard shy of it, where they drive all of 34 yards in over 5 minutes of game time to set themselves up for a field goal. That's basically what they did tonight as far as offensively, because other than that, they moved the ball and got first downs at times to keep the clock running, but they didn't do anything special. And if you look back at what this team's passing attack has been over the last four games, Central Dauphin has passed in the last 4 weeks for a total of 49 yards. And in that time, they have beaten Central Dauphin East, and then they have also won three playoff games in that time as well by throwing for a total of 49 yards.
This is a team that has, since 1997, when you go back to Ryan Bolisic and then Mike Probst or Bryson Lewis or Brandon Levia, Lou Coryell, whoever, they've always had a 1,000-yard passer. They've always had a guy who could give you 15, 16 touchdown passes if you need it. Throw up prolific numbers. Ballistic 1 year, I think, had 30 touchdown passes, which has not happened since, by the way. But this team used to have, I mean, they still do. They still have the explosive offensive players. We know that. But they used to have the consistent passing attack and the consistent offense that could just light it up at any point. And now it's more, you know, I want to bring up a point. You mentioned the point about the first drive real quick. When they get the short field and they go down the field and Peyton takes off in that big run, and I mentioned to you that they basically had half of what Governor Mifflin gives up for a game on one play, that was exactly like last week when Mifflin ticked off Jake Hunt to effectively end that game against Cumberland Valley. That was the punch in the face that basically threw the other team up against the ropes right away and said, we're not messing around here tonight. We're coming here to win this game. And I think Mifflin, who has played phenomenal and thrown up the numbers and stout defense and just killing teams in the first half, I think they, when they're back on their heels like that, they don't know how to react to it fully, and I think they sort of got out of their element a little bit tonight.
And I would agree with you, and all of a sudden they started throwing the ball a lot the first half, where they were successful a lot in that first half. Here's the thing that I would also say, and the difference between the team they played this week and the team they play next week. The team they play this week is a team that traditionally, over the years, for one reason or another, has not been able to figure out how to get it done in the biggest games of all. The team they play next week consistently gets it done every single year in those type of games. We're in for a dogfight next Saturday.
Yeah, we certainly are. And real quick, what we'll do next Saturday, we hope that we have enough on board next Saturday. We should. We will bring the game to you on 91.1 FM and also WMSSFM.com. Just stay tuned for the coverage plans. You can follow me on Twitter at @ByEricThomas. I'll detail all the information to you as soon as we know it. But we're planning to have it, like we did here tonight, on both 91.1 FM and also WMSSFM.com next Saturday night. We'll start right around 5:40, kick off at 6 from Hershey Park Stadium for the district championship game.
So that's the plan, and that's when you can check out our next broadcast here for Central Dauphin football, and it will be for a District 3 Quad A championship. This has been the Blue Moose Bar and Grill postgame show, Blue Moose Bar and Grill, 717-651-9493, or online at www.bluemooseharrisburg.com. Big thank you tonight to our studio producer, Tim Neville. Fantastic job back at our studio. We thank him for what he did and helping us out tonight, bring this exciting game to you, and also Kayla Warhola, who started off as our studio producer at the beginning of this broadcast as well. Eric, I'll let you close things out because, I mean, this has been a night, I think, to remember for this team and a young team that may be coming of age a year before we really thought that they would.
Might be. A lot of people, you know, looking at 2015 as the year when some of these guys are going to be seniors, and this has been the focus. This crop, a lot of these guys in this team, the senior class, have played, been together since grade school, won championships in grade school, and now they have an opportunity to go close out their careers here as seniors with a district championship and then give some, you know, pathways laid for the team next year, which looks to be pretty promising. I'm going to be completely honest with you. I don't know how we got to this point. I'm just glad the run's going to keep on going for another week.
16-13, Central Dauphin beats Governor Mifflin. For Eric Thomas, this is Brian Kaiser saying goodnight. And join us again next Saturday for championship football here on WMSS.
You've been listening to Central Dauphin Playoff Football on WMSS and WMSSFM.com. Today's game was brought to you in part by the Blue Moose Bar and Grill, by Horning's Ace Hardware, Christopher's Pizza and Subs, GPS Solutions LLC, the CD Rams Club, St. Thomas Roasters, the Panther Ram Club, Ricker Construction, and Ted's Bar and Grill. Your home for the best in high school football is WMSS.